Hey, Foggy, it's me. It's Jason.
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, hey, you know, like this Friday we're doing the Nowhere Mulberry 200th big time extravaganza episode.
What's that got to do with me?
Well, you know, a lot of people, they get excited about the clips and the drops and stuff you play, and I thought people might be really excited if they got to hear your voice on the show this week for the first time.
Right. Oh, Tom's not going to hear my voice anytime soon.
What, you don't want to do it?
Why would I want to do something like that, man?
Well, I mean, all you got to do is say, hey, everybody, it's me, Foggy.
I don't do that.
Well, just say, hey, it's me, Foggy, everybody. I play the clips. See, I'm real. Because some people don't even believe you're real. So I think it'd be pretty cool if you just...
That's all the better, man. It's all the better that way.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's see. Well, hey, why don't you create like a Foggy Facebook page so people know you're real? You know, you could have like friends on there and people could write you stuff.
I hate having friends.
Okay.
Friends get in the way.
What do they get in the way of?
My business.
Well, you know, it's the 200th episode of the show. It's really special, don't you think? You've been there for like every episode playing clips and stuff. And a lot of people would say our show would be completely different without you. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to like, hey, guys, he's real and he wants to say hello.
They probably wouldn't believe me anyway. They probably thought you could just get any old bum off the street.
Yeah, but...
The fan base is crazy that way. They wouldn't believe it's the real Foggy.
Now, don't you want to have fan mail and stuff?
They'd probably just be whining about, I don't put in the right sound effects, so why'd you just now say something? They'll find something to nitpick about.
Hmm.
It's what the fans do. It's their job.
You got a good point about that. Well, okay.
Dude, you're asking me to just go out and reveal my existence to millions of rabid fans. Fans are scary people, man. If I tell the millions of people that I actually exist, it will result in thousands of fan mails. I don't want that kind of attention. I'd rather just be the face in the background.
Wow, you're really amused with yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
How about this? I get you to do the part. You know how every show we have somebody say, you're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Maybe you could do that, huh? Say, yo, this is Foggy. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Well, if we're going to have something like Foggy finally saying something for 200th episode, I think we could have some build-up to it, not just me coming in the opening. Just have some build-up to it.
No, I think it'd be cool just like as soon as you're hearing, you hear that. I think it would be awesome. Like, whoa, that's Foggy? Wouldn't that be cool?
All right, I see your point.
That'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
I suppose. Oh, that's asking a lot, man.
Why? You're one of the best, Foggy. I couldn't do the show without you, so I'm going to butter you up a little.
Yes, keep going. I like hearing this, yes.
I mean, those drops you play from the, you know, the Bangladesh, the Jonathan drops from years ago to now. You play the awesome Spartacus drops with Batiatis. I think that...
All right. Everyone, this is Foggy, and yes, I am real, so welcome to Nowhere Mulberry, the 200th episode. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll work, and that's free. I don't have to pay you for that, right?
I'll think about that. Either $75 at the least.
$75 for that?
Yes, my sexy voice does not come cheap, my friend.
catch me if you can.
My friend Mitch. He owns that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, yo, man, come hit this right here. You need to hit this.
Oh, yeah. Hit that. No, I appreciate it, but I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. Besides, I got a big day tomorrow. But you guys have a great time.
A big day? You're doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Hi, I'm Tabitha Soren with MTV News. Today in the Sam Sweet case, the prosecution played the 911 call that Sam Sweet made the night he murdered his brother. Keep in mind, Mr. Sweet confessed 1 month later.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My kid brother's been shot. I think it was an Asian gang or something. I saw someone. He looked Asian. And he was speaking another language. I'm pretty sure it was Asian.
Never before in the history of motion pictures has there been a screen presence so commanding, so powerful, so deadly. He's Conan the Librarian.
Can you tell me where I can find a book on astronomy?
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Conan the Librarian.
I'm sorry. These books are a little overdue.
Conan the Librarian. Tonight, only on U62.
Hanging in a trim bay, watching people sashay, past my steps.
Some bad hat, Harry.
Whoa! Hey! Hey! Episode 200! Holy shit! Are you kidding me, man? Yeah! Hey, everybody!
Who'd have thunk it?
It's me, the J-Shroom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry.
There's a line you haven't used in a while.
I know, but I pulled it out for episode 200. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Film, television, pop culture, that's what we've been talking about for 199 episodes. So episode 200, anthropology. New subject. What do you guys think, huh?
Sweet.
Nah, let's stick with film, television, pop culture. Hey, Steven the Pop Culture Salad! Hey, to my left. How's it going, Steven?
It's going great.
I want to thank you personally for always arriving and doing the show with me and Bill all these years. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And thank Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Mulberry Bill.
Screw you, Steven.
Easy, buddy.
Hey, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm hanging in there.
Episode 200. And I want to thank.
Incredible, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty insane, Bill. And I want to thank you for doing the show with me for all these years, too.
You are quite welcome.
One big happy family. You know, the highlight of my week doing the show, the highlight of my week actually is Wednesday when the show is out and I put it out and everything and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all this time, you know, we used to do the shows on Saturdays. We'd, you know, in the garage. Back, remember that, Steven, back in those days? Mm-hmm. Do it on Saturdays and on a Commodore 64.
Yeah, we 64. Were a garage podcast. Now we're more polished.
Yeah. But now, I mean, it's like, you know, you enjoy TV, watch it all week. Or Bill, you and I, we talk about movies or whatever. You know, we just share things all week, and then Friday it's time to put it all together, do the show, be exhausted on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Monday start putting everything together, uploading it, doing the enhanced podcast, all that, trying to get it all uploaded by at least 1 a.m. for Tuesday. The show's out and I wake up, I'm like, oh, I got it all done, thank you. And then
boom goes a
couple of days.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, and then I'm like, oh, I got to start doing the put stuff together for episode 200 today. And I did it, and I'm happy. Hey, we're doing it, right? And I want to thank everybody who sent a voicemail this week. We got a lot of voicemails, and we're going to get to them here in a second. But I'm really excited that I just want to take a moment to reflect on this. Episode 200. Wow. All right, I'm ready to go. What about you guys?
Was that your reflection?
Steven, what does the show mean to you after all this time? I'm just curious.
It's, you know, just good friends getting together, chatting, having a good time. I think it's just been fun doing all this.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
And it's even better that, you know, 13 voicemails. We've got however many listeners out there, people who actually, you know, write in and ask questions of us or...
It's pretty cool.
It's like people around the world know who I am, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody. But,
and they know when you're not home.
No! Oh, no!
Rick, I'm watching you.
Oh, no. I love that Murdoch, by the way, don't you guys?
Do any of you creeps know the way to San Jose?
You know what's funny about that? I wanted to say this for a second. I was like, Bill, you know what my favorite A-Team episode was? Is when the bikers come to town and Murdoch does like the chicken dance. Man, that shit was hilarious. And I was like, oh, I need to put that in the intro. I'm going to look for it. Well, Hulu has the episode. So I'm sitting here watching it going, this is the most boring shit I've ever watched. It just drags. There's nothing amusing about it or funny.
The best part was the montage of them putting together the fake facade of the town.
Right. It made no sense. The bikers were morons. There was no threat whatsoever. The town they're protecting had two people in it. You never see anybody else. It was obviously a Hollywood lot.
Say! Yeah, and I love whenever they crash the bikes through the windows
yeah.
of the police station.
It's hilarious, and I don't want to hear anyone say anything about the integrity of the A-Team when they see the trailer to the new movie, okay? There was no yeah. integrity.
Wow.
No, I fondly remember it as a kid, but it does not hold up as an adult, I got to tell
Absolutely.
You
Absolutely. I had all the toys. I had the A-Team pajamas, lunchbox, everything. I loved the A-Team. And
right.
Just watching that episode the other day, it was just like, wow, this is horrible.
Bill, what is doing the show all this time, what does it mean to you? I want to know that, me personally.
I think it's really an extension of the friendship we created when we first met in Star Wars Galaxies, where we just had this certain kismet where we both liked the same things. We both got each other's little stupid movie-like jokes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of – I remember whenever the idea sprung in your mind and you said, hey, you know, we'd talk every day, every week. And I think we've got a lot of good things, and why don't we do a show? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's try it. And from that, it just it's grown into this whole nother thing. It's like it's taken on a life of its own. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I know. People actually like to listen to it. It's pretty crazy. Well, it's like as Foggy said at the beginning of the show.
Millions of rabid fans.
Millions of rabid fans.
You know, and some people, it might not, you know, impress some people, but whenever, you know, someone in my family or friend says, hey, how's the show going? And I say, good. You know, we had some good voicemail from Rick in Australia or Michael from Ireland or, you know, and they're like, really? Australia? Ireland? I was like, oh, yeah, we got fans in the Philippines and the UK.
Belfast.
And, you know, some people might not be impressed by that, but a lot of people are.
I'm impressed by
our reach extends that far.
I know. I'm impressed by, like, you know, Ross or somebody. They're from the Bay Area. Oh, that's cool.
It's
you
like
know?
When we first started, Jason yeah, from thought, Florida. If we got 20 people to listen to us, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I'm definitely.
And then it was like, and then he just kind of grew. I want maybe 40 guys to listen to us. He was never. I'm going to start off gigantic, you know. It's like I'm going to quit if 100 people don't listen or.
Oh, I remember
you
those
days. You made me sound really whiny, Steven. I don't think I was like that.
No, I have a manly remember voice. Those days where we did
quit.
An episode, and then we would go into the editing, and then we would only get so many voicemails, and we'd be like, "Man, we just need 100 people. That's all we need, or I'm
yeah.
quitting."
Yeah,
that's great.
It was pretty
but think hard. About that now.
I know.
It's all the better, man. It's all the better that way.
Yeah, see, it was great to get Foggy to finally record his voice, but now I...
For all those non-believers.
Yeah, you're all wrong. There is a Foggy.
Hello?
Awesome.
What's that got to do with me?
See what we get to deal with.
I know, that's why... You know, when I introduce people, I'm not going to bother to introduce Foggy. He's just behind the scenes. So, all right,
he
guys.
He doesn't want people in his business.
You know what I think about? Right when we first started the show, Bill, I remember saying, yeah, we're going to do like an hour, 2 hour show. And I remember you saying, 2 hours? What the hell are we going to talk about for 2 hours?
I know.
Boy, we have plenty to talk about, don't we?
Try shutting us up.
We wouldn't even have to talk about TV shows, and we could go for 2 hours.
I don't do that.
Oh, sorry, Foggy. All right, guys, let's get to the voicemail, shall we? The first voicemail of the evening is from the Mystery Man. We still don't know who this guy is. Wow.
Hello, guys. Listening to, I don't know, I think one show back. Can't get angry at a pancake man. I just listened to the intro and Rick's comments, and I have to echo that. If you guys want to go to 300, man, that'd be great. I've been listening for a very, very long time, pretty much since you started this program, podcast, and
live show.
That was like three jobs ago, and I'd listened to, the Battlestar Galactica bits with particular enthusiasm, because that was like the one thing that you guys talked about that I was watching on television at the time. And, you know, I have to admit, I've never seen an episode of Lost. I've never seen Smallville. Never seen 24. I know I'm a pop culture zealot, but there are things that you guys talk about that resonate with me. And over the years, it's been like The Sopranos, True Blood, Dexter, and lately Spartacus.
Yes.
So I really hope you guys continue. I don't call in that much every once in a long while, you know, but I listen all the time. So maybe awesome. Not up to date like some folks are, but I definitely enjoy your program, and I hope you continue to 300. I think it's an extremely diverting and entertaining little podcast, and I've yet to miss any. I'm a little bit behind, but I'm not. I'm still a loyal listener, you might say. Anyway, hope you continue. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Mystery Man. By the end of the show, we'll announce whether we're going to continue the show or not. What do you guys say? Like final announcement? Does that
sure.
sound good, Bill?
Hey, it's up to you.
Fans are scary people, man.
All right. Oh, you know what, Mystery Man? You know, that's cool also that if you don't listen to the shows we talk about, but you still listen to the show, I think that's really cool. Hopefully we're entertaining enough that you don't have to ever watch The Cake Boss or something, but you can just listen to us make fun of it. You know what I mean? Because you don't have to watch them, honestly. I'm just
we take
to find
the best bits.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about.
Definitely. Now we have another voicemail, this one from Austin. Hey! Let's check it out.
Hi, guys. My name is Austin Luger, and I'm coming to you from Indiana. I've been a big fan of your show, and I wanted to congratulate you on your 200th episode. Wow. I've been listening since, I have no idea what episode, but I was a junior in high school, and I'm now about to finish my sophomore year in college at Ball State University.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Ball State University. I've heard it all. But I wanted to, again, congratulate you on really an amazing show week after week. It makes me laugh, and it really makes me have a lot of fun dissecting a lot of these TV shows, especially the ones I don't watch, like Smallville and Heroes. Having been not very familiar with a lot of the characters, I can still follow along on all of its terrible dialogue and plotting. Also, I just wanted to mention my favorite moment so far in Nowhere Mulberry, which is probably when all the times Eugene is called in and you guys hysterically reacting to him, especially when he demands that you sing the DVD song or insists that it's actually episode 97. You guys are great, and
going
I wonder
school.
Who Eugene could be. I don't know. Have a great show tonight, and keep up the great work. Can't wait to see the next 100 episodes. Bye.
Thanks, Austin. I like that when people like mention an episode like 97. That's cool. It's an old school fan right
Eugene
there.
Eugene begging for the DVD song.
Oh, that's asking a lot, man.
Yeah, you said it, Foggy. Thanks, Austin. I really appreciate that. Thanks for listening. And there's this guy named Adam. You guys ever heard of him?
It sounds familiar.
Adam. No.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play this. I have no idea who this is.
Could be.
Mulberry Boys, happy 200th episode. This is Adam from the Bay Area. Just driving up to get some groceries, listening to the podcast, episode 174, I believe, Hoff Nuts. And I'm thinking, man, I've burned through all the old school, and I'm going. And I think I started listening around 150. I'm feeling like at this point I'm a little bit of a seasoned listener. Now, I know that certain guys like Credo have been there since like episode 20 or whatever, and that's wow. Talk about a seasoned veteran at Mulberryisms. But I'm feeling, you know, hey, I've been listening to this show for quite some time, and
Credo's a pimp.
I can't believe that you guys are in your 200th episode, and just congratulations to you guys. By far the best podcast ever. Better than Leo Laporte. Better than Sarcastic Gamer. Better than the Disney Dudes podcast, all about Disney theme parks.
Sweet.
Better than the Colors of Cinema, Cinema Slaves. Better than, the list goes on. Best, better than The Saloon. Better than Hollywood Saloon. The best podcast that has ever existed. Okay, wow.
Wow.
At this point, this is really dragging
Keeping
out.
The girl
but,
better than
hey, I haven't left voicemail on the kind of hit or miss. You know I had to do the 200. Happy, wow, this is just a big, huge deal. What is this, the titanium show? You got the silver or the gold for the 50th show. 100 you get a diamond, 200 you get titanium. So congratulations, guys. Oh, Brother John, what have I done? I've ran it on.
Brother John.
Brother John?
Wow, thanks,
Adam.
Is the
300th episode, is that unobtainium?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to go to Pandora for that one.
They'll find something to nitpick about.
No, they won't, Focky. I don't know why you've got such an attitude like that. You know, Adam, that's awesome. Thank you. I'm glad that you enjoy the show. And, you know, it's funny, Emma... She said, Daddy, for your 1,000th show, you get a cake. And I was like, ooh.
1,000?
Oh, nice. Holy crap.
There's some incentive.
She's going to be in college by the time we get to 1,000. Oh, man. So let's see. How am I going to figure that out?
What every year 4 years is 200. It's been 4 years. Right?
Yeah. Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Wow. Just yep. Wow.
You have to use the Dewey Decimal System to figure it out?
I don't think so, Conan the Librarian. I was just like, wow.
Hey, UHF was like my favorite movie as a kid.
It is awesome, man. Seriously.
Oh, it's absolutely horrible, but it's, I don't know. There's just something about it. I was the right age.
All right, guys, we got another voicemail. This one from Andy Hayes.
Hey, Mulberry guys. This is Andy. Bill's friend from Michigan. I've been enjoying the podcast so far, as you guys have been doing, and this is show 200. You guys did a good job making it all this way. It took a while. And but yeah, I was always wondering if you guys were going to go beyond 200. Then I'm glad to hear that you will be going further. Than
we're going backwards.
This show
199 next
so,
week.
So there's also some movies that are coming out. Zero. I sort of want to hear how Phil is going to what he's going to say about them. Like next week, I believe there's a couple of Blu-rays that are coming out, or maybe it's the week after that. Yeah, the week after that, there's a couple of Blu-rays that are coming out. But I just wondering what he's going to say about them. But anyway,
we wonder that all the time.
I told Bill that I would give him a review on Gremlins, and this has been quite a while ago. And I got the Blu-ray about 3 months ago, and I watched it a couple times, and I got to say, I really enjoyed that movie. I don't know if your daughter has seen this yet, but it's a pretty good movie. She might get scared of it. You know, she's kind of young. So.
Definitely.
I don't know if she gets scared of the gremlins and the way that they treat Gizmo.
She needs to be a little
But I really enjoyed the movie. I especially liked seeing the puppets going off on a tricycle.
Puppets? Those are real,
that,
dude.
That was really funny. but yeah,
it's not puppets.
I thought the movie was cool, and I haven't really watched any of the B movies that Bill has asked. What's that guy's name? From Australia. Rick from Australia to watch. But
what's that guy's name?
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of a couple of them.
He's not memorable.
They look kind of corny. So I guess I'll talk to you guys later. I'm kind of rambling here. And have a good show, and I'll listen tonight. Bye.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. Yeah, Gremlins. I love Gremlins, but I'll wait a while before I show that to Emma.
Oh, Gremlins, when did that come out? 84, 85, around there?
Somewhere yeah, just the there. Whole massacre, the mom, when they're attacking her, I think that would scare the crap out of
when
yeah.
she puts the one in the microwave, that, like, that entire scene with the little, was it Little Drummer Boy?
Yeah.
That entire scene just disturbs me even to this day. I remember when I was a kid, it scared the shit out of me, but even now when I watch it, I get real queasy and unsettled.
Fans are scary people, man.
Okay, Foggy. Foggy's just got a negative attitude. I don't want him to talk on the show anymore. What do you guys think?
Going back to being silent.
Yeah.
All the better, man. All the better that way.
All right. This is a voicemail from Ed. Let's check it out. All right. From Stuckeyville, right?
Hey, guys.
Bowling alley lawyer.
Belfast. Just sending in a voicemail. I sent in one last year. I'm also known as Indio Volante in the chat rooms and the forums. But yeah, I'm just voicemailing in to say happy 200th show. I mean, it's no feat of, you know, not doing well. The fact that you got here, like, you know, already after 4 years, which is, you know, it's a remarkable feat. I can't think of really any other podcast that's, you know, gone for 200 episodes and been consistently good and popular. This is a weird request, but
is there a Rancor
I was
back
listening
there?
To some of the Mold Radio like School recently, Grizzly and I noticed bear. In like much older episodes, the intros like entertainment are longer.
Cthulhu
I was thinking like
napping.
Because it's the 200th episode to play them, you know, just for tonight. But that doesn't matter. Anyway, the only problem is with Norm Mulberry because you guys are in America and I'm here in Belfast. It's 6 hour time difference, so some Friday nights because I've got to go to work the next day. I don't get to listen to the show live, but there's other nights where it's like 3 a.m. and, you know, I suddenly remember it's on, so I chime in and listen for a bit. It's pretty good.
Cool.
You know, tonight I'll be sitting in my bedroom wearing a tuxedo because it's the 200th show, you know.
Nice.
Well, we're in our tuxedos too.
I won't really be. I'll
definitely
be in my underpants or something.
Tux right now.
But, speaking of tuxedos, you've probably heard the news that the next James Bond film's just been put on indefinite hold. For the foreseeable future because of problems with MGM and funding and stuff.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of weird because, like, they said the day that was announced that, you know, Daniel Craig is willing to do a third one and Daniel Craig's hoping to get on with it. But Then the very next day, the press goes into overdrive and they're starting to say Sam Worthington's favourite to take over the role of Bond and Daniel Craig's leaving. And Christian Bale's the second favourite. But, I mean, it'd be cool for Bale because, I mean, playing Batman and Bond, there's no actor who's done that. I mean,
as long as he
Adam
has the
West
same
was
voice
close
as
to
Batman.
Being Bond, but that didn't happen. Good thing or bad thing, I don't know. But, yeah, Sam Worthington, I don't think would be that good a choice. I mean, I can sort of see that there's the whole rough and tumble side to him, but it's just not a kind of, you know, he doesn't have a charm or something. And, I don't know, the last Australian was George Lazenby, and he's, well, George Lazenby. Yeah. I'm also kudos to Rick and Adam, who they voicemail in, like, every single week, and it's, you know, it's a credit to them, the fact they're able to do that and, you know, keep it up. And their voicemails aren't just, you know, sort of, hi, good show this week, like, it's long and it's good, and, you know, I really like Rick. Rick's great. But I listen to the show mainly in work, but just when I start listening to it and then the Rick voicemail comes on, it's like, yeah, it's always good. There's always that hum in the background. And yeah, and the same with me, like if I hear anything about Australia or, you know, Melbourne or something. After what I just said,
whoa,
though, about Sam Worthington and George Lazenby, I don't mean that just towards Australians, just because, you know, George Lazenby was Bond and it didn't work out. Sam Worthington, he's British Australian or something, but I just can't see him. And yeah, anyway, it's really good that you guys have got to 200. I've been listening since about episode 120, but and I have some of you are on my Facebook. I think I still have to add Bill, but I'm just, you know, saying that now because I am a listener of the show. I mean, I'm not just like trying to randomly add you. Although I did like when you said about, you know, a photo fit, like a sort of mugshot. Yeah, I'm actually thinking of doing a mock-up mugshot just to, I don't know,
that'd be
do
awesome.
Something.
I need to get
funny.
A mugshot for my Facebook
yeah.
photo.
But,
that'd be funny, yeah.
I was also wondering, because you guys like Peter Serafinowicz, have you seen that brilliant video of him where he does, like, 50 impressions in 2 minutes? And, like, there's not actually 50, but the people aren't actually real celebrities, but some of them are, like, brilliant. You can watch that video over and over again because they're just, like, genius, some of them. Like, don't get even. Get Beaven. It's Wednesday. It's 4 p.m. It's Wednesday 4 p.m. live. Yeah. You should, if you haven't seen it, you probably have, but it's brilliant. Anyway, I'm probably guessing that there'll be a lot of voicemail in this show, so I'll keep it short and sweet. Like, some sort of metaphor or something. I don't know. Anyway, happy 200th show. It's really good, and, you know, if you made us pay like $1.99 per episode, I'd be up for that. I'd still take the direct debit out and, you know, each week have it, you know, if you just want to do that. Not giving you ideas, but, you know, if you just want to do that, I'd be happily up for it. Yeah. Well, I'm sitting in a car right now.
Is there a dragon sleeping outside the car? How was that sound, Ed? But
fear for his safety.
I know. You got to be careful around there. You know about the charging for a show? We're going to install the honor system where if you've listened to the show and you want to pay us, do it on the PayPal.
Kind of like the Radiohead when they release their album?
Yeah. Like if you think you should pay something. And also for 1 through 199 also, by the way.
So yeah, where did the Trent Reznor podcast?
Yeah. Pay what you think you should. And it could go to, and I got to tell you right now that it's always a good sign when bandwidth and stuff goes all over the roof and you got to pay for hosting and stuff. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do this week with the Enhanced podcast because I got to figure out what to delete and move around in order to get this episode on the feed.
Oh,
because
really?
I'm like looking at it and the graph is like all the way like to 99%. I'm like, holy shit, what am I going to do? Because it resets back to zero at the end of the month. And I'm like, I can't wait to release this till May 1st. I don't know what to do. But I'll figure it out. Don't worry. But anyway, donations help pay for stuff like that.
Yeah, really. And more donations mean we can upgrade the bandwidth.
Oh, yeah, totally. But Christian Bale is James Bond. Do you guys see that at all?
Oh, God, no. Please, no.
For fuck's sake, man, you're amateur.
Hey, I don't know what you're
calling. You know what? It's, at this point, I'm glad that they're not going to be making one right away because Quantum of Solace really, really sucked.
I want to fucking kick your fucking ass.
Oh, my God.
For a second, all right?
I love that guy. But seriously, Christian, just stick to Batman, okay?
You're unbelievable, yeah, and, man. You're
did you see that that clip on YouTube where the guy that does the voice for Batman for the cartoons?
Oh yeah,
actually said that that his Bale's voice is horrible.
Yeah, because it's like, hey, I'm Batman.
The Kevin Conroy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was just like, I just don't get it. What was Christian Bale doing?
What don't you get about it?
Oh, dear. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and move on. We got a Sean voicemail. Hey, who's Sean? Oh, wait, I'm saying his name wrong. It's Seen.
We got what a, is he Seen?
A Seen voicemail. Wow, that's bad. Hey, Sean, we got a voicemail. We're going to play now. I got nothing, by the way.
What's up, Mulberry? It's Sean from Los Angeles. Congratulations on episode 200. You made it.
Yes, 200.
Really, really awesome. Oh, and I can't believe that after so many episodes, you guys are still going strong, still providing us with the funny and hours of entertainment. And I hope this really isn't the series finale for Nowhere in Mulberry, because that would make me very, very sad. And I'm sure it would make Rick and Adam and everyone else sad. So keep going, guys. We love it. We love it. You know, I look forward to downloading the podcast every Tuesday. I look forward to it just as much as when I look forward to an episode of Lost or Friday Night Lights. That's how much your podcast means to me.
Wow.
And I hold it up to that same standard as those TV shows. That's how awesome I think your podcast is, just to let you know. As if you didn't, because I call like every week for the boring voicemail. But I won't take up much of your time. I'm sure you got a crap load of voicemail this week considering the milestone episode number. So I'll just say goodbye for now and take care.
Well, thanks, Sean. You know what? What's funny is I checked like this morning. I wake up. And I'm like, I wonder if we got any voicemail. It's like nothing. I'm like, well, shit. Wow. Maybe people forgot. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, 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 boom. Voice. I'm like, whoa. But Sean, if we're like up there with Lost and Friday Night Lights, wow.
Just stay tuned for.
When are we getting our Peabody Award? Holy shit.
Yeah, no shit. When are we going to have our Pally event?
Yeah, holy shit, man. But thank you very much, Sean. Love it. And, but you know, I'd love to have Sean fill in for DVD sometime. But Bill, next time you're sick or something
like
that.
Absolutely. I have no problem with people taking over for me.
Someday Steven's
going to give me a break.
DVDs,
maybe
right,
one Steven? Day I just won't show up.
And I said one day Steven's going to do some DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I would love to throw it off to Steven once in a while.
Helicopter Crash the Movie came out on Blu-ray. That'd be an awesome title, too.
Why is that still funny to me?
I don't know.
It's funny to me, dude.
What the fuck are you doing?
Hey, we're past you, Christian Bell. We're moving on. Okay, this is a voicemail from Todd. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere Mulberry guys. This is Todd again from Atlanta.
What's up, Todd?
Man, I had the greatest day today. I got to send my beautiful wife off to work. I get to watch the last two episodes of Spartacus this morning.
Oh, yes.
And all I have to say about the finale is Hawaiian Punch was used a lot in this episode. And that little kid got his in the end. And then I get to listen to you guys, thank God. Episode 199, great episode, really awesome. And it's good to hear that you guys are getting a whole lot of voicemail. So I just hope that just wanted to call you guys and just say I appreciate you. And I hope you have a great show, number 200, and have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, I can't wait till later. We're going to talk about that Spartacus finale, and wow. That's all I have to say, Bill.
That was good stuff.
Wow. I can't wait to talk about it. That's hilarious, Hawaiian Punch. Yeah, they definitely used a lot of Hawaiian Punch. Now we got another voicemail, this one from Michael. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry. This is Mike from South Tipperary in Ireland. I just noticed everybody always says who they are, where they're from. So I'm applying to this regulation standard.
Cool.
ISO 9648, I'm sure. And why, yes, I am shouting into the microphone socket on my laptop because there's not actually a built-in mic. But for some reason, if you just sort of shout towards the socket, it works perfectly. Crazy. Just couldn't let it go without wishing you guys happy 200. Congratulations, guys. 200 episodes. I'm not going to go crazy and go on about how it's your last show or anything like that. That's kind of turned into the new you've got a lot of free time, Jason, joke. I'm not going to do it. Just to say thanks, guys, and have a great show. Can't wait to listen to it. Best of luck. And see you guys on the flip side. I kind of did a weird voice when I said that. I don't know why. I kind of said, flip side. Irish, Southern Irish accents don't really suit sort of cool sort of American phrases. It doesn't work with the standard Irish intonation of 800 years of the dirty British doing us down, you know. It's made us sort of very laconic and cynical. Anyhow, bye guys.
Okay.
I love that. We love the accent. That's awesome.
Sounded fine to me, man.
It sounded kind of like an American version of a Irish DJ.
See you on the flip side.
See you on the flip side.
Now we're going to commercial break. All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Martin, the man in black. Oh, Bill! Ah! Let's check it out.
Martin, hey guys, it's Martin from Montreal.
Oh, well, it's Martin.
Happy 200th. You actually made it. Amazing. And hopefully you'll keep on making more. Just to tell you guys, I started listening to you when I lived in France. I lived there a couple of years. And you actually kept me sane and anchored into the real world.
Well, our show's as, in France.
Although French culture is fantastic, the food is great, the wine is amazing, their TV really, but really, really sucks. So I discovered lots of shows with you guys, and you continue to give me inspirations to keep watching. So, well, that's it, I guess. Okay, then. Happy 200 and many, many more, hopefully. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you, Martin. Martin? No, that's awesome. Bill, like we were saying earlier, people from all over listening to our show. Who would have thought there's a dude like listening in France?
He followed us from France over, you know, and then moved. Well, I mean, obviously, keep listening.
That is cool, man. That's really
pretty freaking awesome.
Now we got, okay, we got a voicemail from the mystery man. Dude, didn't we already get a voicemail from him? Are you allowed to send two?
I guess he had more to say.
I don't know. I'm going to allow this, but are you allowed to send two on the 200th episode?
He wasn't finished.
I guess not. Let's see what he has to say.
Hi, guys. I'm still listening to that other show, or the show previous to the most current one. I guess you can't get angry at a pancake mouse again. And you're talking about Spartacus. This is maybe my favorite show that's on the air right now. I go through phases. I like Dexter. I like... True Blood and all that, and Fringe and whatnot. And those are all coming back now, so, you know, it's great. But Spartacus right now, man, that's just tops for me. And the thing that gets me is it's being very critical as being trash or guilty pleasures by critics and all. You know, I've studied Roman history most of my adult life. And it's surprising to me just how much stuff they get right with that show. Almost all of the historical major characters existed. He did work for a Lannista named Batiatis. His wife was part of the reason why he rebelled, and at least one historian has described Spartacus as being a Thracian. Auxiliary soldier who mutinied. So, I mean... You have to give them credit for doing their homework and writing a pretty damn good script. I mean, I've got no problems with it. You know, sure it was bloody, sure it's sexy, but you know, Rome was a sexy, bloody time period in history, and to
bloody sexy
portray them as being part of Pilgrim's Progress is doing the subject matter kind of a disservice. It was exactly, well, not exactly. It's a little Hollywooded up, but. You know, it wasn't the ladies' tea party and flower society. It was a pretty rough and brutal time.
And, rough and tumble, wild and woolly, Bill.
A huge fan of it. I was really saddened to hear that Andy Woodfield is
in bad straits in terms of his health, but I absolutely agree with Bill. You know, take as long as you want, get better, you know, take care of your body first, and come back and make more Spartacus later. Anyway, just thought I'd throw in my 2 cents. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, we've been showing Spartacus the love lately on the show, but hell, what is there not to love about the show? I love it. And
I don't understand when people give it shit. I just really don't get it. It's like they're missing out on the joke, maybe. I don't know.
They just didn't give it a chance because we'll talk. Like I said, teasing later. Spartacus, the finale. Okay, isn't the name of the episode called Kill Them All?
Kill Them All. Yes, it is.
That's a pretty good title for the episode.
Yeah, lots of Hawaiian Punch. Lots.
Yes.
Gallons.
You know what? From next season, when it does come out, I'm going to drink Hawaiian Punch while I watch the show. It's going to be like I'm drinking blood. Oh, that's kind of sick. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but anyway.
That would be True Blood. You want to drink the blood.
Yeah. Oh, God, that stuff is nasty.
Yeah, it is. But, hey, Mystery Man, thank you very much. And thanks for watching Spartacus, too. We got to spread the word. We love Spartacus. Now, we have another voicemail, this one from Luke.
Luke. Luke. Skywalker?
Yeah, Luke Skywalker sent us a voicemail.
The Grand Master of the Jedi?
Darth, I figure be happy. That's your son, right? The hell? Whatever. I'm sure Luke is like rolling his eyes right now. Come on, dude.
My hip gets it every freaking day.
It's like, never heard that before. Hey, Luke. You must go to Dagobah. No, but if I knew,
it's kind of like you every time you heard the
whenever Luke would show up somewhere, I go like, "Hey, dude, where'd you get back from Dagobah or something?" did you come back from Tosche Station just now? It's just like, oh.
How much for the power converter?
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Exactly. Hey,
can
how
you kill some womp rats, huh?
He can bullseye the womp rats in his T-16.
Yeah, hey, dude, where's your T-16, man?
The R2 unit has a bad motivator. Look.
All right.
Ah, Luke, you're whiny.
Whiny bastard. Let's check out Luke's voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's Luke. Had to leave a voicemail for your 200th episode. It just seems crazy to me that after all these years, you know,
crazy.
You guys are still doing it. It's, you know, it's awesome. I remember back when I first found the show and I listened to the holiday mashup, listening to Jason and Bill kill zombies while I get to hear clips like the helicopter crash and Bedraggled. And I can safely say that you guys are the one podcast I've listened through all the time I've listened to podcasts. You guys are the only ones that I have stuck with. And it's just been awesome. And you guys should be really proud of yourselves. Give yourselves a round of applause. And just thank you guys for the awesome entertainment every week. Can't wait to see what you do next. Bye.
Thank you, Luke. You get a free power converter for that voicemail. So appreciate
you get
it.
A 10% off coupon at Tosche Station.
No, also, I think if I gave myself an applause, like, hey, good job, Jason,
just
that'd
little,
be kind of
smug.
Little
pat on the
it?
Back, yeah.
It's your voicemail. That's my applause. Bravo.
maybe he can get a gift certificate to Owen and Brew's Smoky Bones Barbecue.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
All right. You just go now, okay? It's pretty cool. All right, what about this droid right here?
The R2 unit has a bad motivator. Look.
That must be our only two loot drops. All right. Hey, we got a Ross voicemail. All right.
How many more do we have?
Two more. Ross and Rick.
Wow.
Saving Rick
That's
for
incredible.
Last. You know, I don't know if Rick notices this, but we always save him for last, huh?
He's gold.
He's the closer, if you know what I'm saying. All right.
Not that anybody else isn't bad. They're good.
Yeah.
Everybody's good.
Yeah, they round
Rick
out the mix.
Rick is one Rick. Rick is our constant.
He's the headliner. Okay, our voicemail, Lollapalooza, Rick headliner, right?
He's our constant.
Now, Ross, he's the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so let's check this out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, it's California Ross, just calling to tell you guys congratulations on your 200th episode. Here's to 2,000 more, huh?
Holy shit.
Last week, you guys had somebody call in talking to you about how stressful it is being a new dad, and I can totally empathize. Like, we had a son 9 months ago, and that was probably the most stressful, crazy time of my entire life. But one of the things that helped me get through all that stress and craziness was your show. I would get all stressed out and stuff, and I would just sit there and listen to one of your old school episodes, and everything would be okay. I even, when my wife was in labor, they, you know, gave her some drugs to help her along, and so she took a nap. And while I was sitting there, whacked out of my mind, like thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a dad, I'm going to totally screw this whole thing up, I just sat down on the couch and put one of your episodes on, and it made it all good.
Oh, yeah.
I just really thank you guys for doing the show. You guys are rock solid every week. I've never sat there and been like, oh, they were kind of off this week. This week wasn't funny. Every week has been funny and just a joy to listen to. So congratulations, and I just hope you guys really enjoy the moment. You know, enjoy it. Just step back, take a deep breath, Steven. And just say to yourselves, hey, I know we made no money off this, but we did something special. All right, guys, congratulations. Goodbye.
Yeah, we do that enough. We were off this episode. You know, we do that enough to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it seems like it to us, you know, maybe.
Yeah, there's a couple of times where I'm like, worst episode ever. And then, you know, I'll listen to it later. I'm like, I don't even remember how I felt that way, because there's always stuff that
that's
hopefully...
what I'll say. We do it, and it's like, really? We didn't think we did that great show last week or something. And...
No, Ross, that's cool. If our show can help people out of a situation where they're stressed out, that's awesome. Hell, it helps me. I listen to the show, too. That's how I fall asleep at night, listening to my voice as I talk about Lost or something.
You lull yourself to sleep.
Yeah. All right, you guys, you waited for it. It's Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on your 200th episode. I know you're going to have a heap of voicemail today, so I'm going to keep this short.
Oh, honey.
But I just wanted to say that this podcast has changed my life forever. Yes, it has. So I put together a best-of compilation of all my favourite moments over the last 100 episodes.
Cool.
Enjoy.
Hold the whip and freaking ball and freaking.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. That was beautiful.
It was.
Thanks, guys. This was Rick from Australia. I said I was going to keep it short. You're going to have like 10 voicemails, I bet.
Hey,
anyway, this is an epic day for you guys, so you should just enjoy yourself. That's all I'm saying. Well done.
Soaking it all
I'm
in.
I'm so proud. Is that weird to say I'm proud of you guys?
It's not weird.
So have a kick-ass show. Yeah, just smash it out. No, just keep doing what you always do, because I love it. I love it. Rick loves it. Bye, guys. Have an awesome show. Yeah, I'm trying to get a bit more energy into it. Pump it up. Yeah. Bring up that excitement level. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye, Rick. Hey, I can't wait till he puts together a whole show like that, huh?
That was awesome.
I want to thank everybody for the voicemail. That was awesome. Anyway, entertainment! 200th entertainment segment, baby. I don't know if we did one in the first episode, did we? No, we did something like that. Even if we didn't call it that,
it was. The first episode doesn't count.
you're telling me, man. All right, The Losers came out. And I want to ask this. I've seen trailer to The Losers, The Expendables, and The A-Team. I'm thinking similar. Maybe? The premise?
No, they're completely different, aren't they?
They're all crack teams of misfits who get the job done. Am I right?
That's right.
That should be the tagline in each poster.
Yeah, you would even look at each
crack team of misfits.
They get the job done? And these guys, crack team of wackos that get the job done. Crack team
of losers.
It's like, whoa, these are all very similar. But I'll see all three of them. What the hell?
I really wanted to go see The Losers today, but I just got way too busy.
Yeah, I hope there's that clucking scene in the A-Team movie. The guy from District 9 plays Murdoch. That's kind of weird, isn't it, Bill?
Charto Copley. Yo, at first I thought, oh, that's not right. Then I saw the trailer and went, well, he looks like he's the one that's got the most charisma.
Yeah, Liam Neeson as Hannibal is hilarious. I don't know how that's going to work, but whatever.
Say!
Yeah, that cracked me up.
I'll give it a chance, but, you know, I hate when people knock CGI, but when that tank's falling out of the sky, wow.
It made me think of that horrible Charlie's Angels sequel.
Yeah.
With that action scene.
Yeah. Hopefully it's better than that, but The Losers looks really cool. I don't see anything that makes me not want to see it. I want to check it out. So
I started reading the comic books the other night, and I was kind of surprised when I saw that it's PG-13 when the books are pretty hard R.
Yeah, I think that's just the way it is now, where they're like, we got to get the kids in there on opening weekend. You know what I mean? Hopefully there'll be the uncut DVD Blu-ray.
What, like the Live Free or Die Hard one where all the F words are looped?
Right. But, hey, Bill, who wrote the comic, by the way?
You know what? I'm not really sure. I didn't.
Because it can't be that Mark Millar guy, is he? The guy's taking over Hollywood, hasn't he?
No, it wasn't Mark Millar, but it was, let's see here.
Garth Ennis or one of those guys?
That can't be right. I've got the wrong one. Okay. It was Andy Diggle.
Okay. Andy Diggle.
And a round
Diggle.
Of silence for
That
him.
Is an awesome name, by the way, Andy Diggle.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever read anything other, you know, than The Losers of Andy Diggle's, but I'm sure he's an excellent writer and does many great books.
Yeah. I'm going to check it out. So are you guys excited at all about Iron Man 2, by the way? I mean, it's like, well, check it out. But do you have any level of excitement for it?
No. The first one,
Not nearly as much as most people have.
The first time around? Yeah, I'm not getting too excited about it. I mean,
you know what my main problem with the movies are? I don't know if it's the cinematographer that Jon Favreau uses, or it's just his style of direction. It just looks off. Like, it looks too cartoony. Like, it doesn't look like a film. It doesn't have, like, a hard edge to it. It's too shiny, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's the way he chose to shoot it or something. I don't know.
And it looks the same for this one, too. But, you know, I don't know.
I'll be there on opening weekend, but I'm just not like, woohoo, or anything.
Yeah.
You know? Anything else out this weekend, Bill, that I need to think about, or should we just move on? Can you think of anything?
You know, I think it's a pretty sparse weekend. Other than The Losers, I think we have that horrible Jennifer Lopez movie, The Backup Plan.
Yeah, I'm thinking the three of us, it's not our demographic. They were like, how are we going to get the Mulberry Boys in the theater this weekend? I know. J-Lo, she wants to have a baby. Then she falls in love. She meets the man of her dreams, Steven.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
You know what's
not
funny? It's the guy that's her, love interest in it,
mm-hmm.
is that Alex O'Loughlin.
Yeah.
That was the Moonlight guy.
Oh, he was the vampire cop.
Yeah, Mick St. John. And if you remember, back whenever Alias was on, she got Michael Vartan to do that Monster in Law or whatever movie.
Right.
So she must mine TV shows for leading men.
You're right, yeah.
Oh, that's asking a lot, man.
But, you know, I do have to say this. That commercial came on, and my wife is like, who's that guy? And I was like, oh, come on.
I'm not going to go see a Jennifer Lopez movie until her remake of Overboard comes out.
Oh, sweet. Dude, okay, they can make an A-Team remake, but you're not touching Overboard because that movie's a classic. The integrity of Overboard will not be tainted.
Right, Bill?
So, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Because
that was an excellent performance from Goldie Hawn and the kids.
Dude,
that,
it's a Kurt and Goldie movie. Come on. It's awesome.
You know what? I have to admit, anytime that movie's on, I watch it.
I've seen it a lot of times, man.
Overboard. Guilty pleasure.
It's a good movie. In fact, if we ever do another show, I'm going to put some Overboard in the intro. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVos. Right, Steven?
What you said.
Now, you know, we're going to take a break very soon, Bill, but first we got to cover this stuff. Because one thing I was kind of bummed about, Bill, I was like, we're going to do a 200th episode with no Cake Boss. I can't believe the show's not on right now.
I know.
That's like our flagship show we talk about, right, Steven? I mean, come on. This is really depressing. But lo and behold, Buddy, the Cake Boss, he's on Oprah this week, huh? He was on Oprah because what was the premise of the show, Bill? Like people whose jobs is doing what they love? Something gay,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, dream jobs.
Dream jobs. Hey, why weren't we on there? Like, hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. How long have you guys been doing?
Yeah. We have to get paid for it to be considered a job, I guess.
We need Harpo to cough up some bucks, right? Harpo Productions. But I was really excited, Bill, that Buddy, he's on Oprah. And I'm like, come on, have some gold for us, Buddy. Have something for us. Because, you know, he makes Oprah a nice little cake here. But one thing.
Let me do a nice little cake here. Put some fondant on it.
No, this is not a nice little cake. This is an enormous monstrosity of a cake.
You what?
But the thing is, Buddy, we know that he has problems enunciating. He has problems talking.
He has problems with the English language.
Right. He's, I don't know, what is some of the words that he says?
Envisionment.
Yeah, what is my envisionment of this project?
Suck.
Huh? Okay, but let's hear what Buddy has to say to Oprah about his life. This is pretty good.
Was it what he envisioned it was?
Steven, I'm not lying when I'm going to say you're going to get a little choked up by this. Let's check this out.
I hear that your father initially made you work in the bakery as a punishment, right?
Yeah, actually, my first time at the bakery, me and my friends got caught actually playing with matches. I was 11, but
yeah.
I'm not a pyromaniac or not.
Yeah. So you were 11.
And he says, well, now, you know, you want to play around with your friends on the weekends. I'm going to take you to work and you're going to start to understand what it's like to really work. So I went to the bakery and for my amazement, I instantaneously.
You loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
For
I loved
my
it. You know,
amazement?
People go through life saying, oh, I'm going to go to college and I'll figure out what I'm going to do later.
Yeah.
But I was like 11 or 12 years old.
And you knew?
And I knew that I wanted to be a baker. A lot of it had to do with my dad because I so looked up to him and mm-hmm. he was my idol and my mentor. And, you know, I wanted to just be like.
So you took over the bakery when your father died?
Well, my dad passed away when I was 17.
Yeah.
And me and my family had to keep the business running.
Uh-huh.
And I had to step into my father's shoes, which were really big shoes to fill.
You have your own show now.
Size 13.
Doing this? I mean, would he could he even imagine that?
He would be so proud.
Uh-oh. He would be so proud.
Aww. Aww. Buddy.
Someone give Buddy a hug.
He would be so proud, yeah.
I promised my mother, my wife, and my sister that one day I would be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I was going to make a cake for Oprah because.
Did you really?
I swear, this has been a dream of mine for a long time.
I saw your mother coming in this morning. Would you say, too, that the way to get the job that fills you up, that gives you great passion, is to do what you love?
You have to do what you love. And to be honest with you, when I make these cakes, when I was painting these trees on the side of this cake, I go into what I call a zone. And it's like an artist painting his painting. And I don't hear nothing. I don't feel no pain. And I just concentrate. And actually, certain things wow. have to slow my heart rate down so that my hand doesn't pulse, so that I could actually get into it. And when you're done, you step back, and it's like you feel like you're so tired because you gave everything
powers?
You have into that project. But you look at what you made, and you're like, wow.
He's the same power.
Like, this is the best. And then to see somebody's reaction after you did it, it's the best. It's the best.
It's the best.
Yeah,
he's got the same power Bruce Lee. He gets into the flow.
Wow.
It's a flow of cake making.
What was he talking about? Pulsing hands, Bill. What? What?
He needs to
steady his hand.
Process to calm so he can get in there and do the details of the cake.
I get into a bathtub full of ice to slow my heart rate down so I can paint.
Hey, just listen to what he says. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Actually, certain things have to slow my heart rate down so that my hand doesn't pulse, so that I could actually get into it.
Listen to Oprah. She goes,
What? She really just wants him to move on.
She's like, we got other guests, dude.
I don't feel no pain.
Oh, my God. That's pretty cool. So when he's making cakes, you can shoot
invulnerable.
Him. Yeah, he's invulnerable. He's indestructible. That's awesome. So it was nice to see Buddy and nice to see his family in the audience. You know, they were all kind of had little tissues, like kind of wiping tears. But Mary, she was like, she had like this face like.
She's absolutely sobbing and like just putting on an act like you would expect from her.
Blow your nose, Mary.
Yeah, you got a snot ball, Mary.
Oh, God.
It's like, ugh.
This is the best.
It really is, Buddy. Congratulations to you. And that Oprah cake was Oprah's tree that she likes to read books under. She was sitting underneath the tree in a chair with all of her dogs around it. That was her cake.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
And did you notice that around the base of the cake, they did more trees?
Yeah, it's like they couldn't stop.
Yeah, they just couldn't help themselves. It's not enough that the centerpiece of the cake is this gigantic, ugly tree. They had to put more trees on it. And then they threw all kinds of shit on it with the dogs and flowers and bushes and books. And it's just like, what? She moves everything out to her yard to read a book?
Wow. Yeah, it's like, and he goes to this place he calls the Zone.
Actually going to the ESPN Zone.
Oh,
and that's
cool.
Where he does his cake work.
He sees Adam there drinking.
I go to the Zone so I can get in my flow.
All right. Well, that's Cake Boss. Hey, that really helped the show, didn't it? It just totally stalled the show is what it did. Jeez.
Buddy.
All right. We're going to cover Celebrity Apprentice. Then we're going to take a break. All right, Bill? You guys hang in there for a few more minutes. One thing I wanted to say as I learned before the show is Bret Michaels has had a massive brain hemorrhage, and he's in the hospital in, like, what do they call it, ICU or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you say, Bill, is near his brainstem?
Yeah, it was a...
That's not sounding good, man. That's
Well, he just had reading that he's actually stable and alert. But the thing with these hemorrhages is that most likely there's a second hemorrhage, and then that's the one that's the problem. So they have to keep an eye on him.
Wow.
Credo in the chat room just... Totally tasteless, but made me laugh. The Tombstone of Love.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, Credo.
maybe I'm laughing because it's in such bad taste.
Now, on Celebrity Apprentice this week, they had the honor of doing a makeover for two country and western stars that I've never heard of. And I would say that, what would you say? These people, they put out records, right?
They're up and coming stars.
Does anyone know
of
them?
No, that's the thing. They weren't up and coming.
I thought that's
they
what
were
they...
established.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy was established. That Trace Adkins has said that he's worked with him. He's worked with that girl. These are just, I don't know what the whole thing was. They were just trying
just
to change their
new
image.
Maybe put an album or two out.
So basically what they're doing here is doing a makeover of the men and the women. The women pick a woman and the guys pick a guy. And the funny thing about this is the guy, you know, he seems like a nice guy, but he doesn't want to really have a makeover. He doesn't want them to change anything about it. And I have a clip here where Bret is like, first he's trying to get him, like, he's trying to do his little bio, right? For this little, you know, I guess a press kit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a press kit.
Press kit, and it's supposed to say some information about you. And Bret's like, well, what about this? And the guy's like, well, you know, he's being really nitpicky. But that's what's even funnier is when they take pictures, the guy is like way picky about the pictures. And then we have the boardroom where the Donald, he's really just obsessed about Brett's bandana. And why didn't he give the guy a bandana? Let's check this out.
Luke and I stayed back, and we're getting into making his press kit and putting it together, and this is definitely one of the things we're being judged on.
Here's what I got so far. I think you're going to like this. The only music that was ever right for Luke Bryan was country music. He knew it from birth.
You mean birth, maybe. Nah. Birth sounds a little... That sounds funky to me, but...
Okay, I'll change birth. He knew it from the first time he heard Mark Chestnut's Brother Jukebox.
Hold on. I don't want to make it sound like Chestnut is the biggest influence.
No, I understand what you mean. Don't fear me giving you an identity more. That's kind of what I think you're looking for.
Well, yeah, let's...
Let me try this. In the words of his fans from the Nut House, can I say that?
I wouldn't use... read that back. There's something a little off in that.
Okay, you got it.
Lord.
What I like about Luke is he knows exactly what he wants. And what I don't like about Luke is he knows exactly what he wants. So I know that this is going to be... Without a doubt, this is going to be tough. I put, he is much more pipe than hype.
The pipes thing is a little... Keep going without saying that. Let's see how that does.
Yeah, because okay. They think I smoke a pipe.
Hey, Luke, guys, we got to really focus now. Come on in. Let's start looking at these.
It's a little, the outfit is what it is. It's a little Al Pacino. The deal with the guitar, like I said, I've already told you, it's way out of my box.
What do you think about that?
Almost good, not good.
You tell me.
It's a little too tough there. That's a little weird look, though. That looks like a senior picture.
Okay, keep going.
Oh, my God.
Brett, let me ask you this. You wear the bandana. I don't even know what's under that bandana.
Wait.
But why didn't you have Luke wear a bandana? It's sort of cool. You know, I mean, if I were in your business, I think I'd wear a bandana, too. I'd probably do much better. I'd wear a bandana. I think it's cool. It's like Trace wears the hat. I think there's something cool about that, right?
Yeah.
But he always wears a hat. Would Luke have been good with a bandana?
Luke would not have been good with a bandana. I know a little bit about Luke, and I asked him immediately, where are you at in your life? Where are you going? What do you want to be perceived as, right? Because the first thing you got to do with any real artist is you got to find out where their heart is. I can tell him to do anything. I could have told him wear this, do that. And if he feels uncomfortable and he goes on that stage, he is going to be awful. We know that.
I think bandanas are cool. I think if I were in that business, I'd wear a bandana.
Lucky for me, you're not in this business.
So Luke is a nice looking guy. Guys are my thing.
Well, they join the club, except for Brett.
You know.
See, I happen to think he'd look better in a bandana.
Enough with the bandana thing.
I think this guy would look great in a bandana.
What the hell? I love Trace there. Enough with the bandana.
He's obsessed with the bandana.
I don't remember who it was, but whenever Trump brought that up, the whole bandana thing, someone gasped. Like, oh my gosh. Like, they knew that Brett wears it because he's bald as a cue ball.
Yeah, it's like all his hair a weave, I wonder. Like, it's... Like, is he have
if
a little
it's not
bit?
A weave or a wig, that bandana's there to cover something up.
Cindy was cracking up, though, when he was like, I don't know what's under that bandana. She was like,
nothing.
He's bald as an egg. I got a real vibe. He's bald.
He's got more extensions than I've got.
Bald. Wow. Oh, you did not just do that.
I think you're going to like this.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that was funny is Cyndi Lauper did a makeover for the girl, and all the women, especially Holly Robinson and the Maria girl, they wanted to contribute. They wanted her to listen to their ideas and stuff. She didn't need to hear their ideas because she's Cyndi Lauper, you know? And even, didn't you love when the girl comes in? She's like, oh my God, Cyndi Lauper! And she's like running us up and she's hugging her, and they're just kind of like, pfft.
Oh, and they were all instantly offended, like, oh, what's so great about her?
Yeah, and then it seemed to me when they win, the women win at the end, when Trump goes, the winners are the women. Congratulations. You look at Holly's face, she's kind of like, ugh.
Oh, they wanted to throw Cyndi under the bus and get her fired.
Big time. They wanted to, like, be like, just...
It's get like, rid
well,
of
I mean,
her.
The press pack they put out sucked. You know, they didn't do any airbrushing or fixing up of anything.
Oh, that was so funny.
Even, even Cindy said that the press kit wasn't right. That right. they didn't have the right printing on it.
I honestly think they won because that girl was such a fantastic singer and moved everybody to tears.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The moment she got everybody crying while singing that song, she won.
Because the other guy's singing about what? Like getting
the rain.
Rain grows corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my girl feel a little frisky.
Yeah.
It's
and-
like. Dude, who the hell are you? There's already one too many Kenny Chesneys in country music.
Yeah, and so then when the chick goes over there and sings, she's singing about
well,
this.
I mean, the way everybody was kind of partying more and it was excited when he was singing. You know, yeah. Everybody was just like sitting there just kind of.
And so we go,
it's like, I don't want to go to a concert to cry. I want to go do the other thing where the guys, you know, they're having a good time.
It's way out of my box.
Okay. Well, hey, I want to ask Luke here from Celebrity Apprentice. Should we go to a break now? What do you think?
Can you imagine how frustrating that was for them?
I want to turn around and punch them. It's like, dude,
it's
I know.
Bad enough that they only had like 30 minutes from the hour because the other guys were stuck in traffic with the clothes.
Yeah, and he's like,
and then they ripped through that thing, and then he's sitting there giving them shit.
I would have been like, dude, this is just for the task. It's not real. You know, going out in the real world, I'm going to do everything, okay? Hopefully you like it, but if you don't, that's cool. But we need to win this, you know?
Yeah.
See, I happen to think he'd look better in a bandana.
If they had just put a bandana on him, he probably would have won.
They would have. Trump would have been like, I'm declaring you guys the winner.
I think bandanas are cool.
I do think they're cool, too. Actually, I think
especially
that's...
gigantic cholo bandanas.
Enough with the bandana thing.
All right. Hey, you guys heard Trace. Let's go ahead and take a break. All right, everybody. We'll be right back.
What's that got to do with me?
Think you're gonna like this.
Life inside a pack of M&M's chocolate candies. Hey, Em, notice anything different in here lately?
It's getting awfully crowded, huh? Oh, pardon me.
They keep putting more and more of us in here, you know.
I know. And it's the same old price, huh?
Yeah, except we got an overpopulation problem.
Oh, can't we do something about it?
Look, here comes some workmen.
They're making our pack bigger. Yeah.
With more M&M's per pack, you get more rich, delicious milk chocolate for the same price. The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Starburst fruit juice, a burst of refreshing fruit flavor for you. Tastes like mouth-watering orange, strawberry too, luscious lemon and tangy cherry. You get refreshed the moment that you bite into a Starburst fruit juice, a burst of refreshing fruit flavor for you.
Naturally and artificially flavored.
Three Musketeers, over 2.25 ounces.
Wow!
The bar that gives you lots more of what you buy chocolate for is now even bigger.
At no increase in price.
More chocolate, same great quality as ever. More, more, more chocolate than before.
For me, there's no better chocolate taste.
Three Musketeers, the bar that gives you lots more of what you buy chocolate for, is now even bigger.
This is the Arcade Experience. We're ColecoVision, and we bring the Arcade Experience home. With arcade graphics, like Donkey Kong with multiple screens, just like the arcade game. Arcade controls, joystick, fire, and jump buttons. Arcade games, like Turbo, Cosmic Avenger, Venture, with 15 screens. And Zaxxon, games that let you have the arcade experience. Now you can bring the arcade experience home, because your vision is our vision. ColecoVision.
We know a family really enjoys a video cassette recorder, but nobody wants problems. So at Curtis Mathis, we give you a 4-year limited warranty. That's 2 years longer than anyone else's, which means you can watch your favorite movie an extra 8,000 times and still be under warranty. Or watch an extra 35,000 comedies. Why, you could even watch this commercial an extra 2 million times. Curtis Mathis, the only VCR with a 4-year limited warranty.
When it comes to home computers, the Atari home computer gets high grades.
I use an Atari at home, and I use it for word processing and to teach myself other programming languages.
Well, the graphics are
probably some of the best you can find.
The Atari 800 computer not only allows you to play games, it also allows you to learn math and history.
Only one computer lets you enjoy this library of over 2,000 enlightening and entertaining programs, Atari Home Computers.
The more you learn, the more you can program, and there's just no end to it.
She's the most exciting woman I ever met. Yeah?
Atari introduces the woman of the year, Ms. Pac-Man. Just like the arcade classic, four different game screens, floating fruit, even pretzels.
Honey, don't you know, I'm more than Pac-Man with a bow.
Reach for Ms. Pac-Man.
Reach, reach, reach for Atari.
There's an exciting new game. It Takes Two from Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Match the prize on a peanut butter half of one wrapper
T-shirt.
With the same prize on the chocolate half of another wrapper.
T-shirt.
And you could win one of thousands of great prizes.
Hey, Dad, here's a Sony Color TV.
Color TV? I saw a Color TV.
$5,000 savings bonds, personal computers. There's over $250,000 worth of prizes being given away.
Hey, Dad, Skip took the other Color TV
Skip,
wrapper.
Come back.
Skip, come back.
I want
Play
Skip.
It Takes Two from Reese's.
I love the rich whole wheat goodness Kellogg's Mini Wheats. But the delicious frosted side makes the rich kid in me open wide.
The nutritious shredded wheat helps keep me on my toes. But the little ballerina in me thinks the taste steals the show.
Kellogg's Mini Wheats, wholesome shredded wheat for the adult in you, great taste for the kid in you, so they're delicious and nutritious.
The whole grain wheat really packs a crunch, but the delicious taste gives it just the right punch.
Hey, baby, you need a ride?
Meet Otto, master repossessor of cars.
I'm going to have to torture you.
He meets the weirdest people.
Let's go do some crimes.
And stumbles into the strangest situations.
You think it's too late for us to get romantically involved?
But nothing could prepare him for the ultimate repossession.
Wow, this is intense.
Repo Man, rated R.
Starts Friday, May 4th at selected theaters and drive-ins near you.
You can pretend nothing in the universe can stand up to the GoBot Power Warrior.
He's built with GoBot power suits.
GoBots sold separately. Power suits are GoBot armor that shield and protect. And when they're combined with the power suit spaceship, they fuse the power of five GoBots into one awesome Power Warrior.
Nothing is more powerful.
GoBot Power Warrior. With four power suits and spaceship, GoBots sold separately. New from Tonka.
Mom, your grandma. Twin. Yeah, they just arrived.
Introducing Cabbage Patch Kids twins. It doesn't happen very often.
Congratulations,
oh,
Frank.
We just heard.
They're so cute.
What's your name?
This is Emma Lou, and this is Diana Marie.
Emma Blue is the chubby one.
That's Diana Marie.
How is my Diana Marie?
That's Emma Lou.
No, I thought this one was Emma.
Grown up.
The Cabbage Patch Kids twins. They arrived together with special adoption papers.
Everybody up!
Only 10 hours beauty sleep?
Today we go to the park!
Muffet babies are soft, cuddly, and cute as can be.
Muffet babies.
Oh no, the gal piggy!
Carmen Connor!
You're wonderful, Carmen, so are you, piggy.
Muffet babies, each sold separately. New from Hasbro Softies.
Presenting Ronald McDonald in Rhymin' with Fries.
Here comes Ronald with a special surprise.
Here he comes.
A whole basket of delicious McDonald's French fries.
Oh, we missed.
Every once in a while, somebody tries a new trick for grabbing those wonderful fries. But Ronald's not fooled. It's those wacky fry guys.
It's a good time.
How'd you know it was us, Ronald?
Because you're the only guys who rhyme with fries.
All the great taste of McDonald's.
Gonna have me some fun.
Are you still having fun?
I'm gonna have me some fun.
Oh yeah.
Actually, certain things I have to slow my heart rate down so that my hand doesn't pulse, so that I could actually get into it.
Wow, I wonder if Buddy could pass a lie detector test since he can control his heart rate. What do you think, Bill?
There's a chance of it. I would certainly wonder if he could pass a vocabulary test.
You know, I wanted to give a shout out right now to Bill Duke. Everybody, give it up for Bill Duke. Giving it, he's always pumping up the audience when we come back from break, trying to get them to have some fun. Huh? Do you guys love that, Bill Duke? That guy's a genius actor, isn't he? Now, you know, we said we would give some answers to some people. You know, the answers, like Lost. Bill Duke, that scene where he says he's going to have me some fun is from The Predator. So if you ever watch that movie, all of a sudden you go, wait a second. Where do I know that from?
I'm going to have me some fun.
He's really excited.
He's going nuts trying to kill the Predator.
Well, he's going to start a party with the Predator, I thought. He's like,
that's after the Predator kills his buddy, right?
Yeah. And he's got all of his – he's getting his gun belt and everything.
He's fun.
I'm going to have me some fun.
I'm going to kill this.
My favorite part is when he's got his razor, his Bic razor, and he like pushes so hard he draws blood on his face.
That is
awesome. Then he breaks the razor. It's like, that is one tough son of a bitch. Am I right?
Something a bitch.
One tough son of a bitch.
He dry shaves the whole time.
Come on in, man. That, you know, that's got Jesse Ventura in it. That's what's funny. The can you see Bill Duke and Jesse Ventura partying? You know, they're like the best of friends in that movie. Did you guys believe that? Did the movie sell that to you?
It did.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I bought it.
These guys are hardcore buddies. Like, they were in NAMM together or some shit.
Right.
Awesome. Let's talk about Top Chef Masters. We got to keep it, you know, those reality shows close together and then get into the real gravitas dramas. And I thought this was the most entertaining of the Top Chef Masters so far. Wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah, because it brought back all the guys we liked from the first season.
Yeah, and it's even got that the French guy. His name is Ludo. What's funny is they do their spin on pub food, which is like shepherd's pie and what was that one called?
Potato skins.
It's bangers and mash, shepherd's pie, steak and kidney pie, fish and chips, toad in a hole. An Irish stew.
Now, the one thing, kidney pie, all those sound pretty good. The kidney pie, I'm like, that doesn't sound good to me.
It's very gamey, but, you know, if you're in the right mood, it matches well with...
That goes well with being drunk off your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
yes, kidney pie.
I need some iron.
My teeth are floating anyway, right? Now, let's check this out, because Ludo, he gets really pissed off when the guy who's the master at seafood picks fish and chips. He doesn't think it's fair. And who is the guy who picks fish and chips, Bill? What's his name?
Rick Moonen.
Rick Moonen. He's like,
and he's known for his restaurant for fish.
So did you think that was fair yourself?
No.
It wasn't at all.
Out of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
Well, Ludo needed to calm down and stop being the victim through the entire episode.
He was hilarious. This is pretty much a Ludo montage of him complaining. Let's check it out.
We're going to the pub.
Cool.
We're drinking.
Your challenge is to take a traditional pub dish, turn it upscale, and create something that you'd be proud to serve in your very own restaurant.
Oh, no.
Here are the six classic pub dishes that you'll be choosing from. Bangers and mash, fish and chips, shepherd's pie, steak and kidney pie, toad in the hole, and Irish stew.
What fish and chips? Can I get fish and chips?
Fish and stew too.
Steak
and fish and chips.
Come on, Ludo, let me do fish and chips.
The guy's a master of fish. You need to put him in this uncomfortable zone. I want Rick to take some meat. But Rick insists like a little child. I want my fish and chips. I want that. Okay, take it, bro. Take it.
Irish stew. You know, that's
what I'm not Irish. I'm intense because I just care. I'm passionate about what I do. This time is going to be very hard to beat me. I'm going to take a risk and really try to do an upscale stew. And with that, I'm going to beat Rick's fish and chips.
Rick, where do you want to play? On the line or here? What is more easy for you?
Over there.
Yes, chef.
This kitchen is so small and we're all here. It's a cage with live animal inside.
No. Rick, huh? Make sure to leave me the space clean after. Huh?
At this point, in this challenge, Rick is my biggest competition. He cooks fish all its life. I never get to do a French food on Top Chef Master. I mean, why Rick get fish and chips? That's not fair at all.
Listen to me. I want to do fish and chips first.
Why didn't you make lamb bourguignon?
I just don't kill lamb with beer.
Doesn't have to be beer.
It's boring.
I am talking
it's
to you.
It's always the same taste.
Listen boring. To me.
Oh my goodness. I am talking here.
Hey!
English people have no taste. But to just cook this food, this shepherd pie, this Irish thing, I mean, Grab what the f*** do you want to do with this food, man? It's disgusting.
You know, I knew they were going to argue later in the show, Bill. Do you know how I knew?
How?
Because they tease it every commercial break.
They've been teasing it since the first episode.
I know. I am talking here. Like, ooh, when's that episode going to happen? That's pretty scary shit, huh?
They're like, shut up. Ludo was an asshole, though.
Yeah, he was really bitching and moaning, wasn't he?
He kept saying that, like, the English food was disgusting.
Yeah, it's like, what is that?
Hey!
I spit on it. Puh, puh, puh. Wow.
Way to go along with it there, Ludo. And what he came up with was horrendous.
I know. They were like, well, this wasn't even Irish stew at all. Did he just make a stew? Like just
No, he didn't even make a stew. He made a soup.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty lame. But I will say this about the guy's fish and chips. Look pretty tasty. Right?
Is it good? Yeah. Some good stuff?
It's not what I, you know, normally see as fish and chips. I mean, I like, you know, big slices of potato and...
Yeah, he had, like, these real thick potato chunks. They should have been fries, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, the like, deeply batter-coated, golden, perfect fish. I mean, I would have tried it, but it wasn't what I thought of as fish and chips wrapped in newspaper.
You know what's funny is I have this other part here where Jonathan Waxman, the chef, everyone was kind of talking about how he's kind of like, whoa, kind of like he's got like powers or something. He's just like a wizard of a chef. Let's check this out. I thought it was pretty funny.
There certainly is a lot of mystery surrounding Mr. Waxman.
He's just like the ninja.
When I get in the zone, ingredients talk to me.
Oh, he has a zone, too.
Where would you live? It's like a kaleidoscope of beautiful things. And do I know what dish I'm going to make? Absolutely not. I buy the ingredients first, and they start talking to me in the car.
Hey. Toads are not amphibious.
He's got a little Gandalf in him.
I always tell my young chefs, it's always good to try to reinvent yourself. And I think it's true for me. I really want to be challenged.
You know, these are like culinary icons here. You know what I mean? Chef Waxman. This guy right here is like Chef Kenobi. You know what I mean? Like the Jedi. And so just being able to be here alongside you guys was extremely exciting for me.
Thank you so much for a fantastic lunch. Please return to the kitchen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May the force be with you.
I will say that guy's shepherd's pie looked pretty awesome. I mean, it was like...
Yeah.
It wasn't like real shepherd's pie, was it? It just had the ingredients of shepherd's pie? Is that what it was?
He called it a loose shepherd's pie.
But it looked really damn good.
Yeah. It was, you know, the roast lamb and the root vegetables and the like, light mashed potatoes over top of it. I love shepherd's pie.
That was a fun episode of Top Chef. I really liked it.
It was. I liked the quickfire when they were all getting drunk off Stolichnaya.
Yeah, that was funny. All the vodka, drinks with vodka in them, right? And they had to do a meal that matched it.
The cocktails, yeah.
What the f*** do you want to do with this f***ing food, man?
Oh, my God. Ludo, come on. Calm down. It's for charity, right, Bill? Come on. What's his problem?
Yeah, what was his charity?
Jeez. The Ludo charity?
Angry Frenchman cooking?
The human fund?
The human fund. Money for people.
Money for people. Now, guys, let's talk about 24. We know 24 is ending soon, so Jack needs to hurry up and work up his gravitas before it's over. And they figure out here, through the help of Starbuck, that whoever killed Renee has something to do with the Russians, right? That's what Jack's figuring out. And it's a huge conspiracy. And let's listen to this little moment here where he slaps the shit out of Starbuck. Right? Ready to check that out, Steven?
Yes.
What do you want?
I want to know who killed Renee Walker.
It's called a pimp slap.
Renee's dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It must have been a mistake.
No mistake.
I'm sorry. Aww. Jack.
That's sweet of her.
Really?
Just get through making love to her.
You're sorry.
I've seen a show with
sorry.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know who this was. I want to know who ordered it. I want Nate.
Stop it.
Let her play, Chloe.
You hit me again. You get nothing.
You think you get to make demands here?
I can give you the hitter. The man behind him. All the way up to the top.
I want more than just names. I want proof.
I have proof. An audio file. Film.
Where?
It's an enhanced podcast.
First, I want my immunity deal back. As soon as I start talking, I'm dead.
Are they listening in?
Your move.
Got a remote control bomb in her head. Still scanner her.
If you lie to me, I'll find you no matter where you try and hide. You understand that?
Holy shit.
God.
Pretty your fracking gods.
Wow. So he really doesn't like Starbuck. And I thought that was a pretty brutal slap around scene, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved when he bounced her head off the table.
Gravitas.
That was gravitas at its highest possibility.
Yeah, that was peak capacity gravitas. Yeah. And I love he's like, he tells the president that, oh man, this is some serious shit, man. The Russians had something to do with this, and we got to get all of our information together. We're going to go get those guys. She's like, no. We're not going to do anything. We've got to let this special peace treaty go through. So I'm going to tell you to stand down, Jack. Didn't you love that?
Send you to McGuire Air Force Base.
You'll be debriefed there, meaning you'll be put in the brig until all this is over.
Meaning I'm going to give you a chance to steal a helicopter.
Yeah. I love that. Where he's like, how many times did he tell somebody, put the gun down now? And Chloe, you know, she's like, we're going to have to shoot it down. But I got to tell you guys this. I saw scenes the next week with CGI helicopters. Sign me up, okay? Because it looks like Bad Company all of a sudden, Bill. He's got Apaches chasing him through New York. That shit's going to be awesome.
My DVR ended before the preview. Damn.
I want to see like that scene in Blue Thunder where he does the big loop in the air and he goes, that's impossible. And right then he's like,
no, better yet. I want him to hover outside a meeting.
Well, I
want to
see this.
He has the microphone and heat sensors.
And nobody notices it. It's sitting out there.
Yeah, he puts his chopper in whisper mode.
Yeah, and then Malcolm McDowell looks out the window.
Yeah, and like Freddie Prinze Jr. has a hat that says Jaffo on it. That would be awesome.
I love 24. We need a Blue Thunder the series.
Totally. God, I love 24. Don't you guys, man? That shit is awesome.
That's too funny.
But, Jack, I don't know what I'm going to do when you're gone. Wow.
I'll find you no matter where you try and hide.
Oh, my God.
You just won't watch 24.
Wow. I miss Roy Scheider. He'd be great in a TV series like this, but he never really did much TV, did he? Mm-mm. Damn it.
No.
Some bad hat, Harry.
Sure is. All right, guys, let's talk about Smallville. This time, Smallville is about, it's called Upgrade, I believe, where they take John Corbin, who, what is his comic book name? Metallo, Bill?
Yes. Yeah, Metallo.
And they're going to put red kryptonite to power his heart, which is
a cybertronic heart.
They also put in some sort of a mind control device.
Right, they can control. And you know what? The thing, his heart thing is a complete ripoff of Iron Man from the movie. Well,
also, the did you notice how it opened was like right out of RoboCop? With, like, the interlaced lines on the view screen
yes.
and all that, and the
yeah.
scientists looking at him. And I was like, wait a second, what am I watching?
Yeah, that was hilarious. But the funny thing is Clark goes down there to investigate, and there's red kryptonite mist in the air.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, you know what that means?
He inhales it.
And it only shows up the moment he walks into the room.
It's like, oh. And so, you know, what does kryptonite make? Red kryptonite makes him kind of a dick, basically. It loses
yeah.
his...
His inhibitions.
But he's not like wacky, horny Clark. That's like a different kryptonite, isn't it?
No, that's red kryptonite.
Oh, it is? So he's there. He's at the watchtower, and Chloe really pisses him off. Let's check this out. This scene is pretty incredible, Steven.
It
awesome.
Is. It's a great one.
He's doing super tight.
Clark Kent's at the keyboard. Have I been downsized in the bureaucratic world of superheroes?
I just got tired of waiting for you.
Oh, snap. Someone woke up on the wrong side of the planet.
Or the wrong side of Lois, but that'll never happen again. Check this out.
What exactly caught you better than Bionica this time?
Just wow.
It was your underground lab that Lois was snooping around in.
What's with thermoradioactive scan of North America?
She's doing meteor rock around the country.
She's going to pay for it. The galaxy.
Clark, wait. As much as I would love to have Tess out of our lives, you can't take her down for this. You're connecting the dots in the wrong order. These deposits don't belong to Tess.
Tess is the only one who knows what kryptonite can do to me.
Except for me.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oliver.
Someone at the door?
You and Oliver betrayed me.
It sounds worse than it actually...
You're stockpiling weapons around the world that can kill me.
Not you, Kryptonian.
I'm Kryptonian!
Clark, the weapons are just insurance.
In case what, Chloe? In case I turned on you? I'm such a fool to think that you could ever understand me. You think you're better than Tess. At least she didn't pretend to be on my side all those years.
Clark, why didn't you hear my side? I mean, what if someday there was ever a war?
There is a war, Chloe, right now. And you're about to lose it.
My God, he's melting her face off. Holy shit.
For those about to rock.
What? Why did he put a giant S on the wall, that part? I don't understand what... Okay.
There was really no reasoning behind that at all.
The blur was here.
You know what was pretty funny? Later on, he goes to one of those kryptonite trucks, and Metallo's standing right there, and they kind of look at each other, and he's kind of like... Whoa, and he's like weak from the kryptonite. All of a sudden, he blows up. I thought that was hilarious. Like, it's like, oh, okay, he blew up.
Zod dive bombs it.
Yeah, Zod dive bombs.
But, okay, I understand because of his metal body, but why wasn't his hair burn off?
he was because okay. His hair's metal, too.
Oh, cool. Liquid metal.
I have no
hair.
Idea.
Yeah.
It's aluminum.
So, anyway, Smallville, fun. Good times. Right?
Yeah, there was some pretty goofy shit in it. My favorite was whenever Zod and Clark make a deal to support one another, and they do that arm shake.
Yeah.
They don't shake hands, they shake arms.
Well, I think it's funny is Metallo shows up to the Fortress of Solitude, and they both do the cold air breath on him from both angles. And he's like, oh! And he's all frozen, and they're just standing there. There's no dialogue, and they just look for a while, and they see it. When he shatters out of it.
There was a good moment where Lois is on the bus with Metallo, and Metallo gets up to help someone with a bag, and they activate his whatever
chip, his control
chip. And then you see in his HUD it says return to base, and I was like, okay,
cool HUD you got there, bud.
Yeah.
What I think is funny is they're like, I could just see the mission is you get on a bus, pretend like you need help, and slip that chip. I mean, what would you call that thing? Like some kind of like a motivator?
Like a little tagging device.
It looked like a white Ritz on the back of his head.
It's R2 unit has a bad motivator. Look.
Oh, that's what it is. It's a restraining bolt like in Star Wars.
There you go.
Cool.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Yeah, okay, Luke. You go ahead and go. We'll meet you later.
You know, I bet you that explosion left Metallo with a lot of carbon scoring.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of action.
Probably needs an oil bath.
What? I don't know. Now let's talk about Fringe. Hey, we love the Fringe, right? And I thought this was a very entertaining episode. And then something happens in the episode that totally bummed me out, man.
Yeah. It's like a kick in the nuts.
Yeah, I got kicked in the nuts watching this because it's you've got the cool shapeshifter guys at the beginning. And there's this great scene here where I'll go ahead and play this where Walter figures out one of the, like, you know, these balls arrive. They're like Mogwais. And
they look like alien eggs at first.
Yeah, and they're like T-1000s rising out of liquid metal. But they're like these weird dudes, and they're the shapeshifters.
And they look like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. They have those shapeshifter kits that all you got to do is find a body and stick it in their mouth
stick
and you become
them. A
bunch
of nails in the roof of their mouth.
Well, this guy, the stoner, did what any teenager would do with something they didn't understand is they poke it with a shovel, right?
Yes, yeah.
And went, what the hell is I'm going to poke it with a shovel? And he breaks that poor pod dude, shapeshifter guy. But Walter figures out, yeah, he just shuts him down. Walter figures out how to get him working again. Let's check this out. It's pretty disturbing, actually.
Tied into the house power, and the voltmeter is ready to go.
So, Walter, you're sure that I'm doing this right?
It's perfect, Olivia. Just make sure they're tightened down.
Walter, you really think that this is going to work?
There's no reason it shouldn't. I mean, something stopped this creature from developing, and because it's part mechanical, if we pump it with enough electricity, we should be able to restart it. Like jump-starting a car.
So what's the corpse for? Is this embryo supposed to reanimate it?
That would be ridiculous. But if we intend to question this creature, then it will need an identity to shapeshift into.
Because that's not ridiculous at all.
I think we're ready, Olivia. 80 amps.
80 amps.
Not enough power, but it seems to be working. Try 110.
110.
All right.
One forty.
Oops.
I think we must have blown a fuse.
Oh, my. Look. Aspirin, quickly, some candles. Something's wrong. When I cut into it, I must have damaged it. Feet of the corpse.
All right, good on my side.
I didn't like this moment.
Help me.
I love it.
Maybe who's can.
Olivia's first instinct was just to shoot him.
Where is he?
Verona. Daniel Verona.
Who is Daniel Verona?
Smith and Corona. I'm not getting this. What?
Blood type AB negative. Cellular polarity.
We're losing it.
Tomorrow afternoon, what is happening at 3:31?
I'm sorry.
Bill, you know, I were talking about this earlier. Steven, you know, the bridge is where whoever's crossing over is. It's someone walking on the bridge. And later on, you see the person arrives. Let's just skip to that real quick. And I noticed this guy, he says, I'm sorry to Walter.
Yeah.
Do you think that's Walter from the other universe that came over?
I honestly do. I think it's Walter from the other universe has been using all this time to get back Peter.
Right, because on that episode called Peter, you see how motivated he is to cure his son. You wouldn't think he would just give up, like one day, somebody took my son. All right, well, I give up. You think
and when he comes home and says, where's Peter? And the wife says, well, you took him to the lab. That's...
Yeah, I'm thinking that he wants to get his son back.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he's so, I mean, I think that's very possible that it's Walter. And another thing is, I thought it was really cool they had the shootout there on the bridge. And what's cool is that guy who looks like Gordon Ramsay, you know, the bad guy, he's like, take care of those cops over there. So they go over
like Gordon Ramsay.
And they, yeah, he does. They assimilate them, I guess, like Borg. No, they shapeshift into the cops. And I love, he's like, let me call my captain and clear this. And Olivia's like, bam. She's like, yeah. The cop wouldn't call his captain on his cell phone. He's like, well, our radio's out. You killed him. But luckily, she was correct, right?
Yes.
And now, what was Walter's idea? Some kind of frequency that would jam their signal, the vibrations of the thing?
Of the other world.
Whatever technology they had.
Yeah, it's like a universe transport thing, and the frequencies match when the universes align, and then
they were going to do it on
things
both sides.
Switch places.
I thought that was really cool how they showed that example with the little Hot Wheel car.
Yeah.
But Peter, he's trying to do it, and the cop next to him disintegrates. I thought that was a cool effect, but I wonder what the hell the cop was doing standing there.
Well, yeah.
It's like, everybody get off the bridge. He's like, no, I'm going to hang out here, man. What are you doing,
I'm
going
to take my time, see what's going on. This is really interesting to me.
That shit's pretty cool, dude.
Because that's not ridiculous at all.
And then Peter doesn't disintegrate like that guy, and he survives, and it's like he wakes up in the hospital, and he knows what's up. He's like, I'm not from that world. I mean, I'm not from this world. I'm from that world. That's why I didn't disintegrate.
Right.
And immediately, he's pretty pissed off at Walter, and I feel really bad for Walter. It's like I understand Peter's feelings, why he'd be upset that he's been kidnapped from another world, and does he even know that there was a version of him alive in this world? He doesn't really listen to anything Walter has to say. He just wants him to leave. That kind of was annoying, wasn't it?
That
just
was.
Like, dude, just listen to what he has to say.
That would be ridiculous.
But, I mean, it was a really good episode, but it bummed me out seeing Walter like that. He's all tearful, and Olivia shows up. She goes, he's gone. Peter's gone. There's no sign of him anywhere. It's like, wow.
And there was that scene of Newton with the person that crossed over.
Yeah.
That is like, all covered up and hooked up to machines, and he calls him Mr. Secretary.
Yeah. What the hell is that? And what's
that would imply some sort of government role.
And those people who come over disfigured, the shapeshifters, why do they come like that?
I'm sure we'll find that out.
It's like an unstable way to get over really quickly.
Kind of like the way in Terminator they have to come through the world nude or something, you know, come through the wormhole nude.
But it's like, you know how the other guy, he comes through in other means, like he's not a shapeshifter or anything. So those guys, it's almost like they send him through in a dangerous way where they'll have to become shapeshifters so they don't look all burned and scarred. It's almost like they have to do it that way to set everything up. I don't know. It just
obviously they don't have the technology that Walter created back in the 80s.
And you know what? Where the hell is Walter's viewfinder thing for the other world? Wouldn't you still be looking at that thing all the time?
He showed it. It's broken.
Ah.
Remember during that episode he showed it to Olivia saying that I created this to look into another world and had a big crack through it?
He needs to fix that shit. Big time. Yeah, I'll help you. I'll put a bullet in your freaking head. Freak! Kill him!
And he had that Thomas Anderson Neo Matrix kind of thing going on with his mouth where it was still
webbed. That was grody,
yeah,
was man. Is it safe to say that was pretty grody?
It was pretty.
That was nasty.
Hey, come on, Murdoch. What are you saying? That we're chicken? Come on. That was pretty gross.
You'd be scared of that dude, too.
Yeah.
That's not never saw anything like that on A-Team. He'd shit his pants.
I want my fish and chips. I want that.
I think Murdoch was in the hospital with Walter. But he escaped from the arcade room. Okay, guys, let's talk about... No, Fringe, that was awesome. I can't wait to see what else. But did you guys see that next week is a musical episode? And I cracked up at seeing Walter. Dude, I'm sold on this. I want to see Walter singing. I think it's going to be hilarious.
What's with the musical episodes that series have to have? I just don't get it.
Didn't Buffy the Vampire Slayer
do a
musical?
Yes, they did.
I remember Xena did a musical episode. I guarantee you that Firefly would have done one had it been around long enough.
Oh, yeah. Joss Whedon can't help himself.
He loves that music.
He's got to squeeze his brother in there to write the lyrics and music.
But I'm really curious about this. It's going to be pretty silly. And
is there going to be a Lost musical?
No, definitely not.
Thank God for that.
But I'm curious to how they're going to do this. And it's all, I mean, story-wise, it'll probably be a throwaway episode, right? There won't be big revelations.
Yeah, I really don't think they're going to squeeze big revelations into them singing.
Like, where's Peter at stuff. But it looks like, hey, if they're having fun, maybe we'll have fun watching it. All right, let's talk about Lost. Hey, The Last Recruit, Steven. I'm thinking you're the last recruit, Steven.
I could be. I'm not telling.
Most of the time he is when he comes in late.
The last arrival. Now, the episode begins like the last one ended, with them showing up to Locke's camp. And immediately Locke wants to talk to Jack. And they have this conversation, Steven. Let's check it out.
Look just like him.
Does it bother you?
No, what bothers me is I don't have any idea what the hell you are.
Sure you do.
Why John Locke?
Because he was stupid enough to believe that he'd been brought here for a reason? Because he pursued that belief until it got him killed? And because you were kind enough to bring his body back here in a nice wooden box?
He had to be dead before you could look like him.
That's right.
Who else did you look like?
Jack, what do you really want to ask me?
The third day we were here, I saw... I chased my father through the jungle, my dead father. Was that you?
Yes, that was me.
Why?
You needed to find water. This may be hard for you to believe, Jack, but all I've ever been interested in is helping you.
To help me? To do what?
Leave. But because Jacob chose you, you were trapped on this island before you even got here. But now Jacob's dead. We don't have to be trapped anymore. We can get on an airplane and fly away anytime we want to.
We can just fly away whenever we want. Why are you still here?
Because it has to be all of us. What?
John Locke was the only one of us that ever believed in this place. He did everything he could to keep us from leaving this island.
John Locke was not a believer, Jack. He was a sucker.
I thought that... Did you guys notice that Locke... I didn't notice it before until now, but how his... the way he's talking, his demeanor changed, where he does sound more like the other actor who plays the man in black. I notice that more here than I ever have before. But what, you know, again, Locke is just telling them what they want to hear, I think. And we got an answer there, didn't we? Another answer. I almost think somebody should walk by and go, answers, as somebody gives an answer.
or a head could pop up.
Answers! And he ducks back down.
Guy pops up and just winks at you.
Yeah, answers, wink! He's like, hey, I was his dad. I led him to water. Hey, some people predicted that before. They're like, I wonder if that was him. And we know it is. You could be what, like, unless he's lying, but I don't think that's the answer.
No,
that's who it was.
But he can only be people who are dead.
Yes, yep. People who have died. So that makes me wonder about the time that Walter appeared to Locke when he was lying in the pit of dead bodies, Dharma folk. And he's like, get up, John. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Because Walter's not dead. So that's interesting there. Interesting. Now, the best moment in the episode came when Hurley's there talking to Sawyer. And Sawyer's talking about how they need to get the hell out of there. And they have a little conversation here. And this just cracked me up, Bill. It's awesome. There's a great line of dialogue here. Let's check it out.
He's got a submarine?
Keep your voice down, damn it.
Yeah, Winmore's got a sub. We use it to get off this rock.
What are we going to tell Sun?
Kate's telling her now. Thought we might want to avoid Otto's.
What about Saeed?
Saeed ain't invited. He's gone over to the dark side.
Yeah, but you can always bring people back from the dark side.
I mean, Anakin?
Who the hell's Anakin? Look, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing to no one.
Hey.
Hey, Claire.
Hey, Haley.
Look great.
He's like, hey, Claire, you look great. But then, okay, later on, Kate and Sawyer, they've been sent to get the yacht for everybody to go over to the Hydra Island. But Sawyer has an idea like, hell no, what we're going to do is we're going to take Sun, Hurley, the guy from the Burt Reynolds movie.
Take all the
movie.
Candidates here.
Yeah, we're gonna take off and go over there because Widmore has a submarine. So let's check this scene out.
You ready to get wet?
Oh, you sure this is a good idea?
You see a bridge?
Going back to get Locke.
Of course not. It's a terrible idea. This is why we ain't doing it.
What?
We're going to ditch Locke. You, me, Jack Hurley's son, and that pilot that looks like he stepped off the set of a Burt Reynolds movie.
When were you planning on telling me this?
Now.
Well, you didn't say Claire.
She ain't coming. The Claire you came back for is gone.
I promised I would bring her back.
It's before she started drinking Locke's Kool-Aid. She's dangerous. You really want her around, Aaron? Let's go. We ain't got much time.
You know, at the beginning when they did the sideways stuff, did you like how Sun saw Locke? He was there on the stretcher too, and she was like, "Ah, that's him!"
No, so, yeah, she's like, "No, it's him! It's him!"
It's like, what the hell? I want to really want to know what, because some of the other characters they showed flashes of what they see, and it's usually somebody they love. Ooh. So, did she see scary John Locke standing there? Or something?
Oh man.
That's really interesting. And you know, one thing that I loved is they all escape on the yacht, but Jack, he's like, something doesn't feel right. I'm going back. And Sawyer's like, whatever, get the hell off my boat. You know, he's never like Jack. And I love how he swims to shore and Locke is standing right there as he gets there.
What was nice is before he jumped off the boat, he told Sawyer that he was sorry he killed Juliet.
Right. That he really does feel bad about. And, you know, and Sawyer is going to hate him no matter what. But he still, like, wanted to save him at the same time. So I don't know what's going on there. Because when they show up to the island, Widmore is being a dick. And he pulls guns on all of them. And but we do finally get the Jin and Sun reunion.
Yeah.
At least we got that, right? Get it out of the way. And
I was actually moved by it. I was, you know... For the storyline that I'm least interested in, it surprisingly affected me.
And
she could talk again after that.
Yeah. In the sideways world, I'm thinking she learns that the baby's going to be okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or she's told that.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Well, why would they lie?
Yeah, why would they tell her, your baby's fine when it's dead?
Because she's sick already in the hospital. If she's, you know,
she's not sick. She got shot.
I understand that, but she's in the hospital wounded. You were not going to tell somebody who's wounded right now that, you know, don't tell them everything. It's like, okay, you're going to be fine. Baby's fine too.
Why would you pull any information to somebody that's been injured? Why would you do that?
Because she's in there. She could hurt herself with other things.
Well,
it could be a depression. It could be anything.
I believe them, though. Your baby's okay. Because the most interesting thing going on here, I think, is that Jack is operating on Locke on his spine. And he looks down and he's like, I know this guy. I know this guy from somewhere. And I want to know, is he going to fix him? That's crazy. Because they even mentioned the dorsal sac or whatever. What do they call that?
The dorsal fin.
Yeah, his
dorsal fin. Limp whenever they're in captivity.
Because you remember in the very first episode of Lost, Jack is talking about the biggest moment of fear he's ever had was when he was operating on someone's spine and he cut through the dorsal sac and he was like had to freak out, and so he had to count to 10 and collect himself. He's never known fear like that in his life, but he fought through it and he fixed her. And then they kind of mention that there, and maybe like it's going to be Locke that does that in the sideways.
Well, watch,
world.
He fixes him, and he fixes him more than he has to. And Locke regains the ability to walk again.
Right. That'll be cool. But we still, you know, we know that this sideways world is basically a lie and not where they should be. So what will that mean is what I want to know.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
And also when they introduced, like, I was just saying last week, I know we're going to see Alana again. And we see her, boom, the next episode after she's blown up. And she introduces Claire to Jack and is like, hey, it's your sister. He didn't really react really well to that, though. You know,
no.
I gotta go.
He looked rather disturbed by it.
Yeah, my dad was kind of creepy. His dad really
well, I
like
that just before they go into the room, his son, you know, well, he tells his son that his grandfather kept a lot of secrets. And then he goes, oh, like you. And then they go in there and here's your sister.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, whoa, you weren't kidding about grandpa. Holy shit. He's impregnating other women?
In different countries?
And also, what about Saeed? He goes to kill Desmond.
That's the part that had me the most impressed. We were talking about Saeed's redemption. And when he comes back to Locke, something's different.
Right. Yeah, totally.
He's not that zombie that he was because he's actually got defiance in his voice.
He's gone over to the dark side.
Yeah, he had gone over the dark side, but he goes, he's going to shoot him, and he's like, what did he promise you? He's like, what? He's like, what did he promise to give you? And he's like, the woman I love back. It's like, how is she going to feel about all this? It's like, oh, yeah.
I had to kill people to get
about
her back.
Before, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of stuff like on Fringe is the same way. It's like Peter Weller's character is like, how is she going to feel when she hears about what you had to do in order to achieve this, to save her? Or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's just like you do it for love, but at the same time, you turn into a monster and you cost a lot of innocent lives over this one person. Do you think they
you turn into
you?
Dr. Freeze?
I think that, you know, remember, I've been predicting that Saeed would have like an Anakin moment.
Who the hell's Anakin?
Who the hell's Anakin? I love that one.
You will not take it from me!
You will not take it from me!
There she blows.
Huh? So that moment was great. I can't wait till we see the scene that Desmond and Saeed had shared together.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
What took place?
He's like,
there.
Let me show you, brother. Just grab my hand. And he's like, huh? And he's like,
maybe you showed him the other world.
It's called 1.21 gigawatts. What? I got nothing.
88 miles per hour. Flux capacitors.
So, I need some more Lost, and
like,
I see
I've
that next week.
I've been through an electromagnet. You think your gun can kill me?
What was with Whitmore and his bombiness?
Yeah, he's like, all of a sudden he's got bombs that he can launch over there at any time. And how are they seeing where he is? He's like, yeah, we got him spotted. Do they have like one of those remote-controlled flying drones?
A UAV. What if the sub is out there, you know, telescoped up watching it?
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm thinking, that's how they're doing it. Like, do they have a satellite or whatever bouncing off? Like, because they have a drone hovering over the island watching them, is what I think.
Someone's playing Battlefield Bad Company.
Sweet! So, Lost is awesome, and next week there's no Lost.
No.
So, I'm thinking we're not going to do a show next week. Hey, we're not going to do a show anymore. It's episode 200, right, Sam?
We need a break.
Yeah, we do.
I don't do that.
You don't do what? A break? What is he talking about?
No, I do the break, Foggy.
Millions of rabid fans.
I know I have them. Thank you.
Yes.
Right.
Now, you know, how many episodes have we done in a row now since we last took a week off? It's been a while. Quite a few.
Christmas time?
Yeah, it's time to take a break, especially after Spartacus, which we're going to talk about now! Spartacus! Blood and sand! Kill them all. This episode began with like 3 days ago or something like that. Man, Bill, I cannot express how awesome this episode. This was a movie. This episode was a movie.
Yeah, it really was.
And I felt like it was like a 2-hour movie by the time it was over.
I kept, you know, most people, well, like if they get bored, they check their watch. When I'm really into something, I continuously check how much time is
left.
It's
like,
oh,
shit, come on, don't end yet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen enough. And I still don't know, was that episode more than an hour?
No, it was 55 minutes.
That's unbelievable to me. They fit so much in there.
And it moves at such a clip.
It was awesome.
Perfume shit.
No, it was better than perfume shit. Come on. What the hell is he talking about?
Clear the fucking room.
Oh! Basically, this episode begins with Spartacus fighting Crixus. And you're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, they trot them all out. And it's the big day of Globber's patronage is announced.
And they've got these hoity-toity Romans there. Visiting, showing off their wealth and their gladiators, and they're all lined up watching them fight. And then it cuts to days before, and basically
2 days ago,
Spartacus is trying to turn Crixus to his side, to the light side of the Force, right? I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, so of course he'll have none of it because Batiatus is already buttered up Doctori saying, hey, I'm going into politics. Guess who's going to run my ludus now? You! And he's like, I can't. I'm a slave. And he's like, you're going to be free. And he's like, dude, this rocks.
So, he also called Doctori by his actual name.
Oh, yeah. What is his name?
Animus.
That's a nice name. I like it. And he's basically like, Doctori's like, dude, this is awesome. It's rocking. It's exactly the dialogue he said, I believe, Bill.
He said, this here rocks.
This is rocking. And then he goes to Crixus and he goes, fear not. Soon I will be the head of this ludus. And then we will find your woman and you could live here and be happy. At least until you die in
the ring. And
we can
bring honor to this house.
Yeah, until he dies in finding another gladiator, but besides that, he'll be pretty happy. And he's like, dude, this sounds great. So when Spartacus comes along, he goes, this place is without honor. We will kill them all. And he's like, no, that doesn't sound like a good idea because
this place does not rock.
Because I'm going to have my girlfriend back soon. And he's just fooling himself. Because do you believe Batiatus is going to do any of that for Doctori?
Oh, hell no.
Because remember, right after they goes, I must ask you something. About, what was that guy's name? Barca. Is it true he was killed and he was never set free? And he's like, huh? He's like, what the? How did you know about that?
Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah, I had him killed, but that's only because he didn't follow orders.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Is that what happens when you don't follow orders here? So they have this big group of people there, and you're just waiting. You're waiting for what's going to happen. And they keep cutting back to Spartacus and Crixus fighting, and the tension's growing, you know, and Batiatus, he's all about, he wants to look like a badass in front of these people. He's going to go into office. You know, this was his downfall, wasn't it? Him wanting to,
become a politician.
Yeah, changing his lot in life and becoming an important person. He pretty much, it was his downfall.
Mm-hmm.
His play for power. And am I forgetting anything until the big uprising?
Well, we talked about the Doctori and Crixus. I loved the moment, though, when Spartacus and Crixus are talking in the yard and Spartacus tells Crixus that Batiatus was actually responsible for his wife's death.
Right.
And that Spartacus promises Crixus that if Crixus is the one to die, that he'll find Navia for him. And then Crixus tells him that in another life we would be his brothers. And they do the arm shake in Smallville.
Yeah, he's like, in another life we would have been brothers. But not in this one. Oh, and I can't forget about the part where Lucretia, I finally learned her name from the last episode.
Yes.
She goes to Crixus saying, I am with child and it's yours. And he's like, he's having none of it. He's like, he wants to know where Navia is. And she doesn't want to tell him. So he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And in fact, he's disgusted knowing that she's got his child.
Yeah.
And at that moment, she's like, I hate him. And she's like, he must, you know, her and Batia disagree. He must lose the match between Spartacus and their party of people. So they're going to drug his ass.
Mm-hmm.
When they're fighting and everything, there's even the part where Spartacus and him are fighting. He's like, come on, you must see it my way. And when he starts to kind of stumble a little bit, he goes, you see, they've drugged you. So you.
He even looks drugged. Like he's like his eyes are like red and he's kind of sloppy looking.
And I know it's like even after the uprising, whatever, he still looks messed up the whole time, you know? Yeah. And I love that where he's like trying to turn Crixus his way because, you know, they've got the guards. They keep the gladiators. They look at the guards and they've got their swords and the people. And you're like, shit, what the hell's going to happen? And I love Crixus is like, Spartacus. And he holds his shield and he's like, yeah, hell yeah. He's on board.
In fact, that's exactly what he says. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And he runs and he jumps on the shield. I love that slow motion scene with the sword. He's like, rah! And I love Quintus Batiatus' face. He's like, oh, shit.
Yes.
And he grabs the dude next to him, this politician of some kind. He's some wealthy guy. He grabs and puts him in front of him, and he gets a knife right through his head.
Yeah,
right through his effing head. That shit was insane. And I love he, like, pulls the knife back, or his sword back, and he's going to stab it right into Batiatus, and right then the whip comes from Doctori and he grabs his hand. That shit was awesome, dude.
That was great.
I can't even explain to you just how I was like, whoa, and you know, just like how tense this was. It was really cool. And then Crixus says this.
Kill them all!
And then they start their uprising. And they literally do start killing them all.
Yeah, they all go running into the building. And I love the one moment where Lucretia's freaking out and she tells Alethea to get her men. And Alethea kisses Lucretia and says, I'll see you properly attended. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
The death kiss.
And let's not forget that the slave girl who's sweet on Spartacus, she caused all this to happen by killing the guard by the gate and opening the gate for them to get through.
Yeah, the gladiators that were still down in the dungeon.
Yeah, and I love that they gather back in the house or whatever it is, their palace, wherever they live, and Batiatus is like, no, everything's under control. Everyone calm down. And then all of a sudden the gladiators come storming through, and it's like, oh, shit. It's like they're not safe at all.
And they just start, and it goes into that slow-mo where they're all just
pouring
slicing
through.
Up women and men and guards.
Yeah, just anybody who's in their way. And I love Alethea, like, tells the guards, seal the door, we're leaving now. And he's like, what about in there? He's like, no, you know who my husband is. Listen to what I'm saying. And that, I love that look on her face as that one girl's like, Alethea, and the door rises its ceiling. She gives this cold-blooded look, like, ah-ha! Kind of, and it's like, and the door shuts, it's like boom, and all of a sudden you hear like sting, like blood everywhere, and blood's
yeah,
just
the,
like,
well, the gladiators just come rushing all the people at the door, and then it goes into that like
quick
artistic slow-mo with just the Hawaiian punch everywhere.
Yeah, and Hawaiian punch comes pouring under the door. And the closest I could think of that is like somebody just released a velociraptor in the room is what it was like. So like and they're like, ah! And it's like somebody turned a blender on. And I love, remember the kid who had Varro killed at that party? He's like, my party. Kill him. He means nothing to me. He's there with Varro's wife, who's a servant, and he's with Lucretia, Lucy Lawless's character, and he's telling them to get to safety. He'll help hold them off. And I love that dude, that kid's mom is standing in the doorway, right? Then a gladiator comes through. He's like, oh, and like slashes her. Mom! You know, and that shit. How crazy was that Varro's wife is with him, and she's like, tell me about Varro. He's like, oh, that loser. You know,
he deserved to die. He was nothing.
And it's just like, kid, you just said the wrong shit to me, man. When she kills him, it's brutal.
Well, she starts out all calm, like, you know, did you know him as a father? Did you know his child? Did you know? And then she's like, did you know he was mine? He was mine!
It's like, oh, shit!
Just stabs him repeatedly.
Oh, man, that was crazy the way she was saying it. And then there was a scene with Crixus and Lucretia where he's like, we'll not have... Doesn't he say something like, I will not have my child suckle your breast, and then stabs her in the stomach?
Stabs her right in the womb.
Hardcore.
Take that.
That shit was crazy. Did you guys, by the way, on catch that bit of information on Smallville? I don't know if you guys did, but...
I'm Kryptonian!
Yeah, okay.
He is, no. Yeah.
Just, sorry, I had to go back to Smallville for a second. I never knew that. Did you guys?
No.
But what's great, there's a great moment here where Asher, the big one of the biggest pricks on the show who caused all sorts of mayhem by his wheeling and dealing, Doc Torre wants to handle him himself, and there's this great scene here. This kind of reminded me of like a, I don't know, like almost like a, like say Star Wars, like two, like a Jedi and a Sith. They're it's
yeah,
Obi-Wan
Master
and Darth.
Apprentice.
Yeah, they're about to square off. Let's check this out.
Pathetic. You think this will cause difference? Even if life fades, my hand shall yet be felt. It plotted the death of Barca, saw the magistrates, and it even helped force Glaber to patronage. Every beam, every stone in this fucking house bears the mark.
He's a bit afraid of himself.
Bears only your treachery. My fucking treachery. When did you stand forth for Asher? When did any of you greet me short of mockery and scorn? Fucking guts!
You received what you deserved. For Barca and all the others you have betrayed. Your time is done.
Send me on my way then. As you were the gladiator. Please, Doctore, pardon kindness.
He steps Doctore in the side and gets away. I love it. He's like, Asher! Damn it, I can't believe I fell for that. Didn't you want him to say when he said, give me a gladiator's death, he should have gone like, hell no, and just chopped his head off?
That would have been much easier than having him run off and then hide under corpses.
So we know that Asher got away. Oh, that bastard. And Alethea, the two of the people you hate a lot on the show got away, Bill. Do you realize that?
Yeah, and we lose the one we hate, we love to hate.
Yeah, which is... our favorite Quintus Batiatus. The guy is a genius. I mean,
and this scene, this last scene is so good. The way it's set up is because he's like defending himself against three gladiators, but Crixus and a couple other ones are just sitting in the background. So they have obviously, they're just watching him. They're taunting him.
Right.
Like there's, he knows he's going to die.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to fight his way out of there.
Yeah, but they're watching him try to defend himself. It was so crooked.
The most heinous act.
Yeah, it really was heinous, Bill, wasn't it?
Most heinous.
And
most
Spartacus heinous. Comes along. He gives him a little talk. Oh, yeah, that's when Lucretia comes out and she's been stabbed. She's like, Quintus. And he wants to run to her, but Spartacus blocks him. He goes, what would you give to see her again and go over there and hold her in your arms once more? You know, how many men would you kill? And basically, you know, he gives him a real talking to about how he killed his wife. And he's like, I made you what you are.
He said, I gave you the means to accept your fate.
Yeah.
Like, dude, really? That's the best you got?
Right. He's like, I made you exactly what you are. And he goes, and you die by it. And Spartacus yeah, said,
and now you are destroyed by it.
He does that cool, like, 360 move as he cuts his throat. Did you notice how he, like, does a spin? Shing, and the way that, like... They show a close-up on his cutthroat with the blood coming out, the Hawaiian punch. I thought we are actually seeing the blood trying to clot there for a second.
Yeah.
Like, holy, okay, we get it, TV show.
It's like you said a couple weeks ago that now they're using more and more real blood. Well, not real blood, but, you know, not CGI blood. And you can tell, and it makes it much better.
They've got the tubes hooked up with the wine punch, and they're just spraying that shit everywhere.
Just going to town.
How, you know, that scene was incredible, the Batiata scene, but I forgot to talk about the two brothers. You know, these two guys have been on a couple of episodes, and you kind of know that one brother is a badass, the other brother he has to keep saving, right? So he pushes his brother out of the way. His more dominant fighter of a brother, I'm not going to call him a wimpy brother because obviously he can fight some, right?
Yeah, he's just immature,
right? And he pushes his brother out of the way and gets stabbed, and then his brother chops the dude's head off, and blood flies all over the screen.
Yes,
drips down the screen.
Nice. It was one of those great moments that we haven't had since the first couple episodes where the entire screen is drenched.
Yeah, and I love his brother goes, "I save you this time, brother." And he just dies, and it's like, oh man, I got kind of choked up at that.
Yeah.
And his brother gives this awesome like scream. Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah, it was like, hey, Hugh Jackman, that's how you do it.
Hugh Jackman. From Wolverine.
Yeah,
totally. Oh my god.
I'm Kryptonian.
Yes, we know, dude. Jesus, we're on to another show, Clark. Dude.
Oh, snap.
So, anyway, after Batiatis, he's laying there, and that was an awesome scene. I can't get over that more, that scene with Batiatis. But then Spartacus speaks up to everyone, and this gave me chills. And by the way, if you've never watched Spartacus now and you're listening to this, shame on you. Go and watch it. Let's check this out.
I have done this thing because it is just. Blood demands blood. We have lived and lost at the whims of our masters for too long. I would not have it so. I would not see the passing of a brother for the purpose of sport. I would not see another heart ripped from chest or breath forfeit for no cause. I know not all of you wish this, yet it is done. It is done. Your lives are your own. Forge your own path. Or join with us. And together, we shall see Rome tremble!
Sign me up, man. That was awesome. Didn't you love how they superimposed him over the credits, too?
Yes.
That shit was awesome. And then reality sets in as you're watching the credits, like, last episode for a long time.
Yeah, even in my notes I wrote end of season one. Like, just defeated.
Wow, that was awesome, man. Awesome.
And together, we shall see Rome tremble!
Yeah! Come on, Steven, let's go! Let's join the army! You ready, Bill? We're ready to march off?
Yeah, I'm ready to join a couple thousand years too late.
That is awesome. Awesome finale. That was a friggin' finale, man.
That really was.
By the time it was over, I literally said, wow, when it was like cut to black.
No show has really had that amount of balls to kill off major characters in the first season.
There is nothing I could do to improve the show, or even Spartacus, Andy Whitfield.
See, I happen to think he'd look better in a bandana.
Okay.
I don't think that would work.
Yeah, that's just not going to work.
Enough with the bandana thing.
Trace wants to see him in a cowboy hat.
Bill, I mean, how much can we praise the show? Just totally awesome.
We can't praise it enough. It's so well written. It's so well acted.
And I got to say, I've watched the entire season on Netflix, right? And yes. It's been in 16 by 9. It's not HD, but it looks pretty decent. But I cannot wait to watch the show on Blu-ray when it comes out. I'm buying that box set, dude. Totally.
Yeah.
And
I'm looking forward to extras. I want to see behind-the-scenes stuff. I want commentaries. I really want to know everything about this show.
Oh, that's asking a lot, man.
Hey.
Damn, Foggy.
Damn you, Foggy. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm following the main guy, Stephen DeKnight, I believe, on Twitter.
Yes.
And he basically said that thing about the prequel that isn't going to happen. No, he tweeted that, I don't know who said that, but it's not true. So they're definitely not going to do that.
Yeah.
It's looking like. Whenever it comes back, I wish Andy Whitfield a recovery. I hope he's doing well. And, you know, you have to go through chemotherapy for that, right?
Yes.
Because I remember seeing Michael C. Hall plays Dexter. He had the same thing, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah, he had his beanie on during the...
yeah, he didn't have any hair. So he'd gone through... He was going through treatment and everything. So I hope he's all right. And it's a fantastic show. It went from, like, this cheesy, like, hilariously entertaining, violent show with lots of profanity and nudity in the pilot to, like, this... awesome, high quality written and acted show. I just think it's excellent. And I felt
lots of nudity and violence
for these characters. Yeah, awesome violence.
It didn't lose what made it best.
And you know, the one thing that I wanted to get, and they didn't like focus on it, but it was that one guy with the burnt face guard. I wanted to see how he got his, and I'm sure he was mixed in there in the mayhem, but they didn't really give him pay much mind to him. You know what I mean?
No.
But really, he wasn't much of a threat or anything. Spartacus already kicked his ass and pushed into a lantern once. So I'm sure he easily fell. And that's another thing. When they showed the unarmed gladiators fighting armed soldiers and how quickly Jason learned to talk. You're like, buddy, all of a sudden. How quickly they disarmed the Roman guards and then kill them, even though they were unarmed.
Armor didn't do much help.
I instantaneously...
Yeah, I was like, instantaneously killed him, Bill. They should have set fire to that place afterwards.
Well, I'm not a pyromaniac or not.
No, that would have been awesome. That thing should have been burning to the ground. But I guess they didn't want to give off any signal. Like, hey, we just killed everyone here.
Spartacus's father was somewhere watching over him. And after seeing that, how do you think you would have felt?
He was so proud.
He would be so proud.
All right, enough of this shit. Let's get on to the news, man. Woo! The 200th news. I guess that's Luke going through the news stories, Bill.
He sounds like Rain Man.
Hold on.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, Paul Hutton, 40, was pulled over by police as he drove an electric Barbie car, which moves slower than a mobility scooter, near his home in Essex.
Nice.
Mr. Hutton, who has four children, admitted being a complete twit. After speaking after the hearing in Colchester Magistrates Court, he said, "You have to be a contortionist to get in, and then you can't get out. I was very surprised to get done for drunk driving, but I was a twit to say the least. It was designed for 3 to 5 year olds." Huh? Okay. Yeah.
You're like,
well, at least
wow.
You know that. I'm not unhappy with my punishment, but I'm a little surprised. So he was he lost his license.
Wow.
Oh,
no more driving in cars or Barbie cars for you.
He could get like a little kick and go scooter or something.
There you go. One of those Razor scooters. So he has it. It's gone for 12 months and he has to pay court costs.
Could he,
for being an idiot.
Could he get in one of those rascals? You don't need a license for those, right?
Yeah, I think that's what he should do.
Need a
that would
license
be an upgrade.
For a Barbie car either, do you? But he still got it taken away.
I don't know what the laws are in the UK for that.
Because that's not ridiculous at all.
The UK's got some crazy shit. Isn't that, don't you have to pay taxes to watch TV there?
Mm-hmm. I assume so.
Like, I remember seeing this thing where they have a way to see if you're watching TV in there when you haven't paid your license yet and you get fined or something. We need to ask some of our listeners over there.
Well, I know, you know, just the way the system works is you pay the taxes and then, you know, health care, education, all that's covered. So that's, I guess,
I just
that's
assumed
the way
it was
works.
Something like the way you just paid in your taxes, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you need a TV license or something.
In Edinburgh, a man accused of weighing his penis on scales in the fruit and veg section of a grocery store.
Awesome!
Don't you know you gotta go to the deli to weigh your meat?
But a bump.
Where would you live?
He walked free from court today after being found not guilty of public indecency.
Wow. Well, he really genuinely wanted to know how much it weighed, I guess.
I
wonder how much this weighs. Wonder how much.
It was alleged that he had his penis visibly exposed to the public and attempted to weigh it on scales used for foodstuffs in the ScotMid store.
That sounds
shop assistant
to me, but...
Melanie Guglielmino.
Huh?
That's a big name. 31 told Sheriff Neil McKinnon that she had been really shocked when she came to the fruit and veg section and saw two men standing at the scales.
Holy balls!
Jones, she said, told her, "We're just having our privates weighed." Asked what she actually saw, she replied, "He had something on the scales. I didn't see it properly. It looked like a penis."
Anyone for penis?
defense solicitor Chris Fahilly put it to her that at no point did his clients have his penis exposed. She answered, "He put something back in his trousers, and it didn't look particularly nice."
Think you're going to like this.
The defense said, "You didn't see a penis at any point." And she replied, "There was one, yes. But the closed circuit footage... showed that she couldn't see anything from her angle."
You're
so
like,
this guy
wow.
got off on a technicality. Apparently he was weighing his penis, but there was a reasonable doubt.
I don't know, Bill. He sounds like an innocent man to me.
Yeah.
Fans
I mean, what's this world
people,
coming
man.
To when you just can't go into a grocery store and weigh your penis?
I know. Come on.
Right.
All right. Stevens Point, Wisconsin, a 41-year-old woman is in jail after police say she went on a blowgun spree in downtown Stevens Point.
Holy shit. Is that where you live, Steven?
Mm-hmm. That's my point. I had her arrested.
Holy shit, man.
That's a long drive.
Like
Stevens Point Journal reports that police got a report around 9 p.m. Wednesday.
Hey.
From a 25-year-old woman who said she was walking downtown when she felt something hit her in the chest. And in the next half hour, three more people made similar reports. None were seriously injured. One of the victims reported she saw the dart shot from a pipe sticking out a window of a black minivan. Police, so it was a drive-by blow darting.
So can you do, like, do they, like a sniper with a blowgun, can you do that?
You got to have some serious breath.
You get a scope on at the end of it for a long time.
Police pulled the vehicle over at 9:30 p.m., found the blowgun, a slingshot, and a bucket of rocks inside.
Oh, man, you're lucky they got
the
blowgun.
She was ready to have some fun.
Yeah,
right.
Police arrested the van's driver, Paula Wolf, and said she eventually admitted to shooting the pedestrians. She allegedly told an officer that she liked to hear people say, "Ouch."
It's all the better, man. It's all the better that way.
Wow, what kind of sick bitch is this? I like to hear people say, ouch.
Ouch!
Yeah, I did kind of like that. I see what she's talking about now.
It's infectious. I've just got to cover this really quickly. It's unclear how long Thomas Hovis Jr. had been hiding in a vat of manure. A vat of manure. But when Noble County SWAT officers stormed the small barn where he was holed up, they thought they had lost the drug suspect. The long, narrow barn has an open-air trough that runs along one side of the building and flows into a vat covered by a steel grate. The setup allowed the farmer, who once used the barn to spray the animal manure from the floor into a holding tank. An officer looked down there through the steel grate in the floor, and he could see a 52-year-old man, just his head peeping out, from the cesspool deep with frigid feces.
Oh, my God.
The pig operation hadn't been there for a while, but the previous tenant had been using it for dog kennels.
Goddamn, dude.
Huh?
They had no idea the last time the pit had been pumped out or cleaned.
Oh, dude, what?
This is not a good sign here.
So apparently this guy was a meth dealer, and he was on the run from the SWAT team. So that's the best place to hide. When you're on the run from cops, hide in a cesspool.
Oh, my God.
You should see his mugshot. It's hilarious. He's like, yeah, that was me. I was in the shit pile.
Yep, that's me, all right.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it. Police
should be proud.
Have arrested a woman for suspected of urinating on clothes at a Walmart store in Cape Coral, Florida. Christina Cafaldi of Cape Coral was charged with criminal mischief and property damage. Employees at the store told officers they saw her take about $200 in clothes off the racks, go into the fitting room, and the woman urinated on the clothes and left the store.
Fans are scary people, man.
Yes, police found Cafaldi because she left her wallet with her driver's license in the changing room, along with the urine-soaked clothes.
You would be so proud.
She looks at her mugshot. She looks like a meth addict. So,
wow.
I don't know what that has anything to do with meth, but she liked peeing on clothes.
Right.
I'm going to quickly mention that in Archie's Veronica comic book number 202. They're introducing a gay character.
Oh, dude, they're
Kevin
two
Keller.
Episodes ahead of us, Bill. 202.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
Bastards.
Whatever.
So anybody that reads Veronica, you can get your gayness on with the new character.
Sweet.
You and what army?
Huh? And finally, in Steven Seagal update news.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There is another woman who has come forward. In a woman's declaration obtained by TMZ, Seagal is accused of luring her into his bedroom, putting his hands on the woman's breasts, and stating that he was checking, just as a doctor would, for lumps.
That's right.
Seagal reached his hand down her pants and said, "I just want to touch it for a second to see what it feels like."
Kill you.
The woman claims she cried and screamed until Seagal let her go.
Holy shit.
That's your baby.
So,
is that where
it
come from?
So basically, Steven Seagal, not only is he not getting a show back, he's going to prison for a long time, I hope. Does he have any priors before this, Bill?
Yeah, I'm hoping he got no priors, man. You got a misdemeanor, you got nothing, baby.
Son of a bitch. I hate when you do that to me.
Oh, I hope he can run fast, man.
And these little children, they fast, boy.
Well, that doesn't even make sense. Wow.
I will kill you.
Nope.
And that's news for this week.
How did mama let him go?
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. 200. Yeah. Awesome. What do you guys say?
Sorry, I couldn't find any cult news. There just wasn't anything going on in the world of cults.
It's all right, Bill. No problem. We'll get back at that later, right?
Yes.
Do any of you creeps know the way to San Jose?
Yeah, you just head west, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much. All right. Interstate 10, will that take you there, pretty much?
Supposedly Dionne Warwick knows how to get there.
All right. Well, guys, Steven, you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready to do some DVDs, Bill?
Let's do.
You ready to do some DVDs?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
You usually ask me.
No, oh, I'm sorry, Steve. I threw you off. Episode 200, keeping you on your toes. All right, guys, let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think bandanas are cool.
Me
That's
too.
That's a nice drum line on that.
All right, Bill. What do we got in the DVDs this week?
All right. I'm going to start out with the worst because it's mainly embarrassing to me. I think I've admitted this before, but I actually enjoy the film Armageddon, even though it's freaking awful.
Yeah,
everything about it is terrible.
There's a lot of stuff to entertain yourself with, you know, as you watch it.
Yeah, the dialogue, the story, the science, everything.
That
is
my father. That's like one of my favorite lines. Father.
But
what are you doing?
Definitely,
Bill. That's one of my favorite lines. What are you doing with a gun in space?
Now, that is a good line. What was he doing with a gun in space?
I could take out this whole asteroid by myself.
You just shoot it.
Yeah, and then, of course, Steve Buscemi getting, what did they call it? Space dementia?
Yeah.
But I will be buying this on Blu-ray eventually.
There's too much running in slow motion, kids holding space shuttles and American flags billowing.
I know.
Wow.
The Rock and Armageddon are two movies that I can't help but love, even though they are, well, Armageddon more so. I can't say The Rock is terrible, but they're both questionable of quality standards.
Armageddon. And remember they have to add in the crazy Russian?
Peter Stormare, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, where's Pancake's house? That would have been sweet if he said that, by the way.
Well, if they pull up with the new spaceship, where's Pancake's house?
Where is Pancake's house? That, there's something about that movie, I'm talking about Armageddon, not Fargo, that it causes me anger. I mean, I know it's not right for a movie to do that, but...
Where's Pancake's house?
It's so... It just dumbs down everything. Like, it panders to its audience.
Stop at Pancake's house.
You remember that part where they're in the two... when they first arrive at the meteor, or the asteroid, whatever it is, stalactite, and they're in their space shuttle, and one of them begins to crash, and they do the slow-mo, we're losing her, and all the shit's flying everywhere, and they're like, no, and there's a lot of moments at back at mission control where they're all like, gasp, and they're like, oh, shit, and guys are like
and
turning
the
their head down.
Always like swinging around on some sort of Steadicam or dolly.
Yeah, and you got to have the guy with glasses with the reflection of the shit on the monitor in his glasses, like, you know, Billy Bob Thornton and shit. Wow. Awesome.
It's incredibly over-stylized Michael Bay garbage, but I can't help but watch it every time it's on.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
I know. I can't justify it. I just can't. The next DVD is a sequel to a Neil Marshall film that I actually liked called The Descent. But this is The Descent Part 2. Oh,
I thought that was called The Descent the whole time. Holy shit, no wonder they said they didn't have that in the video store.
What?
I'm an idiot. I said, do you have The Descent? I didn't know what I was talking
about. I didn't hear that the first time. I'm sorry I ruined your punchline. But I'm not really interested in this, mainly because it's not directed by Neil Marshall, and I don't think he had anything to do with the writing of it.
It's directed by Will Marshall from Land of the Lost, is what I hear.
But this has the lead from the first movie in it, and it's got Gavin O'Herlihy, so...
Hell yeah.
It's not very good.
It's got just Fracker decent, in
right?
it?
Yeah, it's got Fracker in it.
That's enough for me to watch it. What do you think, Steven?
Sounds like a good one to me. Does he get the big shave stripe down the middle of his head? At some point, is he taken out with a bazooka?
No, they're saving that for Kick-Ass.
They killed the Giggler!
They should not have done that.
They killed the underground dwelling Giggler.
The next DVD and Blu-ray is District 13 Ultimatum.
Ooh, it's kind of like Jason Bourne, but mixed with free running.
Parkour, yeah. And it's the sequel to District B-13, and it brings the groundbreaking parkour action to thrilling new heights.
So this is two blocks down, is what you're saying.
I guess so.
Oh, cool.
It's only four blocks away.
You know,
from
I was kind of underwhelmed by the first movie, and I might watch this when it's on cable.
I've never seen the B-13, but I always heard it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just, you know, it is what it is. It's a mindless action movie with guys running around.
Do they do awesome karate in it?
No, it's more just kind of jumping and running.
I think it was an Asian gang or something.
Are there any Asians in that, Bill?
I haven't seen this one, so I don't know.
It's mostly French guys, I think.
Yes, it is.
No, dude, they were French, dude.
What the f*** you want to do with this f***ing food, man?
Yeah, it was that guy, Ludo!
All right, next DVD is one of my favorite movies from, was it 2 years ago? It was finally getting a U.S. release called The Escapist, about a Brian Cox's... kind of the old guard. He's not a guard, but he's part of the old crew in a prison in the UK. And he's a lifer, and he wants to bust out because his daughter is terminally ill. So he kind of puts a crew together to bust out of this prison, and they have to deal with, like, the politics of the prison. And Damian Lewis plays an incredibly nasty prick in this movie. Like, it just doesn't... He plays it so well that you're like, wow, I had no idea he had that in him. Because every role we've seen him in is like, you know, in Life or Band of Brothers. And in this one, he's like the bad guy of the prison that runs everything behind the scenes.
We should have taken him out the back and shot him a long time ago.
I love Brian Cox.
He is good.
It's an awesome last name also.
That is good. next DVD is G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, Season 2. So this continues the countless defeats by Cobra, or from Cobra.
That damn Cobra, they just never learn, do they, Bill?
They come up with the best possible plans. Like, you don't think they can fail, and then they just completely die. They're terrible. They really are awful. They're the worst villains ever.
I know. What the hell?
But too bad your ass got stabbed.
I'm pretty hungry right now, Bill.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds good.
You know, I you can pick this up, the season 2.0, if you want, but there's no reason to whenever you can buy the entire season in, like, this green box directly from Shout Factory.
Yeah,
there's
like
no reason
locker.
To buy the seasons individually.
Here, Steven, catch this.
Nice catch, Blanco Nino.
You're welcome.
What the hell? Exactly.
Next DVD and Blu-ray is The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Giant enemy crab.
Huh? Parnassus?
I don't think there's any giant enemy crabs in this, but it's Terry Gilliam, so I wouldn't put it past him.
Nice. Is that supposed to be good? This was a Heath Ledger's final film, right?
Yes, it was. I haven't heard much about it, honestly.
I wonder how he would have felt with the finished product.
He would be so proud.
See, I've learned when you ask questions like that.
Why?
It's taken me this long. It took episode 200.
And I don't hear nothing.
Huh? You know, buddy, I really want you to learn proper English. Is that too much to ask?
And you're like, wow.
Wow. I can't wait till Cake Boss comes back. Can you, Steven? I'm excited.
I can't wait to see the episode where they go to Oprah.
You know what? Here's something that's crazy, guys. Have you guys thought about this? Just think about it for a second. Jesse James is a dead man. That's probably not coming back because he's a total prick, loser. Steven Seagal Lawman.
Jesse James is an asshole.
Steven Seagal Lawman's not coming back either because he's a loser. When is Buddy going to kill somebody? We're going to find out.
Buddy poisoned Oprah with his cake.
For my amazement,
she got salmonella.
To my amazement, he hasn't done anything yet like that. But I'm waiting.
He's going to burn the bakery down. I spent all these years denying he was a pyromaniac.
He's going to build a cake so big it collapses on him and kills.
No, he's gonna build like a gazebo cake and then it's going to collapse on all the people. Cake disaster. We can't get out of the fondant. If it was a real cake, they probably could have fought their way out. But the fondant, they couldn't get through it.
The cereal treats and fondant kept them down.
Sucks.
Buddy's going to eat his way through the cereal treats.
Stretch is the only one that makes it out because he's so skinny.
Cousin Anthony.
He slides out from underneath it.
Cousin Anthony just watches it happen.
Nobody saw us.
Ugh. All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray is It's Complicated with Steve Martin, Meryl Streep, and Alec Baldwin.
Wow. This looks like my grandparents are going out to the movies after about 20 years.
Exactly.
We're going to go finally see a movie. That guy who did the King Tut on Saturday Night Live made a movie. It's like, holy shit. All right. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, wow. It really does look all kinds of awful.
Wow. I guess maybe I'll watch this one day on the Turner Classic Movies or something when I'm in my
60s. Yeah, that's a wait till it falls on cable at some time.
It's like, holy shit.
Oh, snap.
Next DVD is Last of the Summer Wine, vintage 1982 to 1983. Of course, Last of the Summer Wine is one of those shows I always watched on PBS.
Is this the sequel to Last of the Mohicans?
No, this is different. This is about a bunch of old British guys.
But it is directed by Michael Mann also, though.
No.
Oh.
No, it's not. Sorry. Of the 20 seasons worth of the show. Now, let me see. How many seasons has this show had? I'm sorry, 31 seasons.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's the longest running show in the world and the longest running UK comedy.
Wow. My hat's off to them.
Yeah, half the guys have died.
Here we are thinking that 200's pretty cool, but we got
and
nothing
I
on those
remember,
guys.
There was a guy in it named Foggy.
Holy shit.
If you were Tarragon, where would you live?
Foggy gets around.
He does. Bill, if you were Tarragon, where would you live?
I don't know. Where would I live?
What's that got to do with me?
next DVD is Pontypool.
What is it called?
Pontypool. Pontypool. It's a terrific zombie movie with Stephen McCaddy, where he plays a disc jockey in a small town morning show. And shit starts to hit the fan, and they start getting reports.
Was this directed by Corbin Burnson?
No, it's not. It's directed by Bruce McDonald.
Do you remember that trailer we played?
I do.
It was called Dead Air, directed
Dead
by
Air,
Corbin
yeah.
Burnson. Whatever happened to that movie? And you're telling me it's not even original? This other movie came out, and it's actually better?
It was eaten by a zombie.
Seriously.
Stephen McCaddy, where do I know him from? Because that sounds so familiar.
He brings the gravitas. He's a great character actor. He was the general on that one episode of Fringe from the first season that was passing off the briefcases to the people, and they would like turn to.
I know exactly what you're talking about. He looks like he's chiseled out of granite.
Yeah, he's like Lance Henriksen's long-lost brother.
Right.
See, I happen to think he'd look better in a bandana.
Well, that's entirely possible.
He was scary as shit in the movie called History of Violence.
Oh, yes.
Very scary.
I forgot
he
was in that, yeah.
I think bandanas are cool.
But this movie, I saw it. I actually imported the Blu-ray from the UK because it's region free and you can only get it there. I bought it on the recommendation of Ian Loring from Cinerama podcast, and it really is a terrific movie. It's a
blood demands blood.
Yes, and I can't recommend it enough to rent the DVD or even blind buy the Blu-ray from the UK.
Cool.
Yep, and last, but certainly not least...
Say!
The Blu-ray of Tombstone is coming out.
Say it ain't so! Tombstone?
Yes, Tombstone.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me!
Supposedly this movie was ghost-directed by Kurt Russell, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He's even said that. I mean, the one thing about that, I don't know anything about Kurt Russell. He seems like a cool guy, but the director, George Cosmatos, however you say his name, he's dead now. He's no longer with us, so he can't really say anything about it. He can't say, no, that's not true, because he's dead. But
isn't there rumors that he was the guy that they would hire when they wanted someone else to direct the movie?
I believe his name is on Cobra, and a lot of people say that Sylvester Stallone actually directed that, etc. Like, didn't he direct Cosmatos? Did he direct Rambo? Rambo 2, I mean?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying that he directed it. But I know who really directed it, though. Huh? The hell was that?
A gunshot?
Yeah, a gunshot directed it.
Foggy's not on this episode. He needs to figure something out there.
Oh, you just challenged him.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Slowpoke Rodriguez directed it.
That's who directed it.
I think.
What's that got to do with me?
Oh, don't be upset, Foggy. I'm just joking.
Oh, that's asking a lot, man.
Screw you.
Yeah, what do you want?
Are you done yet?
Right.
Okay. He's waiting.
What's going on? What happened?
I'm not talking.
We'll find something to nitpick about.
And that's DVDs this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs. And everybody loves the DVDs, Bill.
Millions of rabid fans.
That's right. Thank you, Bill, for doing the DVDs all this time also. I think you brought the gravitas to Norm Mulberry. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you.
Thank you also, Stephen.
No, thank you for starting this little shindig.
Hello. Fracas.
Huh? Well,
what?
I don't do that.
Hey, all right, guys.
Well, we didn't think Foggy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to.
That's probably good. All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
For my amazement.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And
we just lost power. All right, guys, that was episode 200 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening, everyone. I appreciate it. It's awesome. If you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also go to nowhereinmulberry.com, and you'll find links to Mulberry Old School and the forum. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. I'm glad you enjoy it. And, hey, send us feedback. We love feedback. Steven loves feedback. Bill loves feedback. Foggy loves feedback, etc.
He'll find something to nitpick about.
Well, yeah, maybe, but still, we want to hear it, right? Right?
Oh, that's
I don't know.
A
is
lot,
this
man.
The end? Are we done? Are we...
Well, even if we are done, I'll still read the forum. So,
yeah, and nobody will post there.
You know what? What the hell? Let's go ahead and do another episode, huh?
One more just for the road.
I say we do it up to 203. Yeah.
We're going to go on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. Not this week. Maybe next.
Show us some
Check
love.
Check back in with us.
Show us some love.
We're going to say we recorded shows, but people are going to have to wait for us to edit them and release them.
And you're like, wow.
Seriously, guys. I think I'm ready to do some more. I just need a week off. What do you guys say?
It's up to you.
The whole time doing the show, it's always been fun just talking about shows, making fun of stuff. It's just been a good time, and as long as it's still a good time and it doesn't feel like work or feel like a big pain in the ass, that I'll keep wanting to do the show, honestly, with you guys. Because whenever it's like, I don't feel like doing it this week or whatever, that means I need to take the week off. Usually a week later, I'm all back to normal and I'm good to go.
Well, your Spartacus ended, so...
Well, when Spartacus, like a show like that happens, I thank God we have a show to talk about it. That's why we have a show, right, Bill?
Yeah.
And there's no loss next week, so hey.
Nope, there's no loss, no Spartacus.
No Spartacus, there will be a 24, but still, we can save that over.
Yeah, really. I don't think there's going to be any in-depth discussion of what Jack does with the helicopter.
And then you get the sing-along Fringe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know how we're going to cover that.
But we'll be back in a week. A week and a half. 2 weeks, yeah. Whatever. Something like that. Yeah, whatever. Can you guys tell I'm tired? I'm sleepy, Bill.
It's already the next day for me. It's Saturday.
Oh, it is.
Well, happy Saturday, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Steven.
Well, I'm wondering, Bill, what are you going to do?
Yes.
What are you going to do today?
We're going to go to Home Depot.
Oh.
Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
All right. Well, have fun, Bill. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you. I think, the house really needs a good spring updating. But we've got quite a few people in the chat room.
Really? How many?
Yeah. Well, not a lot. Just, a handful.
Just exaggerate.
Adam, Credo, someone named H. Strom. That's a bizarre
who
name.
Who could that be?
Luke 86, Marvin, Mystery Man, Andy Hayes, Ray Ray, Truman, Yudanasha, and of course, our constant Zell 2501.
Awesome. Hey, let's give a shout out to these guys.
Are you good?
Yeah, awesome. So, where are we going to do the show when the next time, Steven?
Wherever I please.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you when we come back. We'll see you when we see you. Right, Steven?
That's right. We'll see you. Later. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Later, Bill.
Later.
Later days, man.
May the force be with you.
Mm-hmm.